Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, off for another day of broadcast insolence. Starting on WGN Extra and then working our way over to after the Hawks game ends. Third period is just now beginning in Prague, the Czech Republic, where the Hawks are down 3-2, although it is fun already. And I want to say how proud I am. How proud I am
of
that Shawzy's already spent 2 minutes in the penalty box. First game.
I thought you were going to say DeBrincat scored.
Yeah, he
Kane
scored
with the assist.
Yeah, no, no, no. I'm more, much more interested in Andrew Shaw spending time in the penalty box. That's my favorite. I like that. That's my favorite play, actually, is when he skates over to the penalty
box. Does he have a sad look on his face?
No, no. No, he's got to look like, I know I should be in here.
Yeah. I know why.
Yeah.
Way it goes.
This is my job, eh?
Well, you'll be happy to know. I know that you're very concerned about the Bears getting enough rest on the plane overnight, flying into London. There's video now. The Bears are pushing out about them in practice, and they look great. They look well-rested. They look energized. They're happy. They're full. I mean, it just it couldn't be a better image.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because our own Adam Hoge is in London, too. Did you fly on the team plane, Adam?
No, I did not. I did not. I flew on a plane where they lose your luggage.
Oh, no.
Adam.
Yeah. So I did a little shopping today because otherwise I was pretty much walking around in London in the sweats that I wore on the overnight flight over here. But it's all good. It's okay.
Did you go to Harrods? It's very lovely.
The place I went to, I think, was like the... Well, let me put it this way. It was 90%... grocery store?
Oh, I know. It's Marks and Spencer.
No, that wasn't it.
Because that place sells clothes, and I always think it's weird, because in Britain they do that. They sell groceries.
It's all one thing,
and then you can get, like, a turtleneck.
And socks.
And socks.
Right,
but more than socks. You can get full outfits.
I like that.
But it was pretty much turtlenecks and socks. Those were my options, so,
So you're looking good, Adam.
Did you get underwear? I mean, that's the most important thing.
I did, bro. I'm happy to report. I secured some underwear.
Phew.
Do they know where your luggage is, Adam?
There has been a positive development in the last hour or so that they at least found it, and it was at London Heathrow.
Oh,
so
good.
Supposedly, assuming it is my bag, it should be delivered to my hotel eventually.
Okay. It's not my bag.
Are you staying with the players?
No, we're at a separate hotel. They try to keep us as far away as possible.
I fully understand that.
Adam, we've been debating all week on whether or not the Bears should have left earlier. Roe thinks they should have. Matt Nagy was standing by his decision to leave when they did. Your thoughts on the schedule this week for the Bears?
Well, look, I think that Nagy's doing this because it's the way he's done it before. That's what they did in Kansas City, and they won the game. And so, you know, you go with what works as a coach. The Raiders last year when they played here did what the Bears are doing now. They came later in the week and they got demolished. And so this time, partly because they were already on the road in Indianapolis, but they decided to fly straight from Indianapolis to London Sunday night into Monday. So they've been here all week. Now, the way I look at it, guys, is it still comes down to who's the better team on the field. It really does, because you know, the Chiefs were good when they came here,
right,
and they did it on short rest. And the Raiders were awful last year, and that's why they got demolished. So I still think the Bears are the much better team on paper. Now, if they some reason lose this game and they look flat, okay, well, maybe we can look at this as a reason. But right now, I'm not too concerned about it.
I hope not. Hey, interesting that the Raiders have now been there two consecutive years. You could tell the NFL wants to sell the Raider brand internationally, because that's going to drive traffic to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but they're also looking for teams that are willing to go, and so a team that has already said, hey, we're leaving this city, okay, well, you get to lose two home games then by going to London, because that's the catch with all these games, is teams are, one of the two teams in the game is losing a home game, and so the Bears are a team that'll just never do that. The Packers are a team that'll just never do that. That's why Jacksonville plays here every year, and that's why the Raiders are having to play here 2 years in a row after announcing that they were moving to Vegas.
Right, because people are mad at them there. And Jacksonville can't sell out. So they've got, this is an opportunity for them to sell out, because this thing always sells out, because you got American expatriates and then British looky-loos that were interested in what they, oh my God, they're hitting each other. They got helmets. What is that all about? And the new stadium for people who, you know, Tottenham Hotspur is one of the, you know, one of the top teams, or, you know, is a storied franchise in the Premier League. So what you see here is this brand new stadium that was a year late in delivery. Tottenham fans have sold this thing out. So people who've been here, other Londoners who've been hearing about this, get an opportunity to go see something in the stadium because it's, you know, this ticket's a little easier than a Tottenham ticket. So
how is the stadium, Adam? You were there for practice today, right?
No, they practice actually at a rugby stadium, a smaller venue, one of the local rugby teams that's here, Saracens, I believe is what it's called. But, you know, I did catch, because Tottenham, their soccer team, played a game a couple days ago when I was still in Chicago, and I made a point of turning it on the TV to see what the stadium looks like, and it looks pretty cool. It looks pretty intimidating, and I am really excited to see what the crowd looks like, because you know, there's going to be some Raiders fans here. Ro, like you brought up, there's probably a lot of locals that, you know, want to see an NFL game in this new stadium.
Right.
But boy, are there a ton of Bears fans here, guys.
Oh,
and
good.
There's been some talk. I know I interviewed a radio host from London back at the Super Bowl on Radio Row back last winter, and he was telling me right away when this game got announced that the 85 Bears were so big that that was really the first team that those people in London that were starting to learn about American football,
right,
that's the first team that they started rooting for. So the Bears brand carries weight here, even though the Bears have not played here since 2011.
I remember that because my mom is from England, so I have a ton of relatives over there, and they would ask about the Chicago Bears, and they would want to get their merchandise, and we would send them those, you know, Chicago Bears merchandise for Christmas. They'd actually, because they thought it was kind of cool.
There was also a popular restaurant in the West End that was started by a Chicago guy, and it was a Chicago Pizza Pie Factory, and it was, you know, one of those kind of, you know, the theme restaurant, but it was very successful. I think that they actually did a couple of them throughout England, and it was the brand was working. A lot of stuff was Bears paraphernalia in 80, and that was going back to the 70s. That guy started those restaurants there. But in after the 85 season in 86, the Bears played in London. I thought it was a preseason game.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And they went, and that was the first time we got to see, I think it was their first preseason game. They played in London, and Ditka, there's no T. T is silent.
Ditka,
he did not wear like the blue and orange, you know, like coach like gear. He wore a suit, like a three-piece suit, and he had like a tam o'shanter and everything. And remember, he started dressing, and of course, he had an endorsement, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's Mark Shale or one of those kinds of stores. So he had this. So he started dressing in suits.
Ditka had an endorsement.
I know, hard to believe. And the damnedest thing is, he was never the same. You know, he should have been wearing the blue polyester pants, you know, and the ill-fitting shirt, and then, you know, maybe, you know, some sort of a pullover or whatever, you know, that the coaches wear. And he started wearing his own stuff, and he was, you know, all dressed up and fancy. And it was like, no, wait a second.
Yeah, that's not the Ditka we remember.
Yeah.
Life-changing moment for Ditka.
Yeah.
Are you saying that London ruined Mike Ditka?
I am.
Is this the reason there was never a dynasty?
Yes.
He finally got to the root of it.
I know. I mean, I tell you right now, he was wearing like a herringbone suit on the sideline.
Oh,
and
no.
And I'm like, you know.
A lot of tweed and
right,
stuff?
Right. Even though it was August, it was still cold there because it just is.
Oh.
And it was, and he was like there, and he was, and they're like, wait a second. That's not right. Where's his stuff? Where's the, you know, Buddy Ryan was gone, right? Because, you know, they carried Ryan, Buddy Ryan. Remember they had at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, there were two separate teams, one that carried Buddy Ryan, the other one that carried Mike Ditka, and they never crossed paths with each other. And they were all Chicago Bears. Anyway, I don't want to bring anybody down. I just don't like London and the Bears in combination because I just think they just don't like it. However, to Adam Hoge's point, and this is a critically important point, The Bears do not lose a home game.
It's huge.
And they get an away game in a place where they're at equal disadvantage to the away team.
Except for the traveling circumstances, you might point out, Ro.
Adam, injury front, how the Bears looking? Obviously, Trubisky's out, but what else do we need to look out for Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall it's been a good couple days, trending in the right direction. Akeem Hicks was back at practice today for the first time in a couple weeks, so that was good. He's still a game time decision for Sunday, but there is some optimism that he'll play. And then Kyle Long is good to go, guys. So he's full go. He's gonna play. He wasn't even listed, questionable or not. He's gonna play. And then this whole bizarre Roquan Smith thing this week. He's practiced in full. He's going to play on Sunday. That's Matt Nagy confirmed that today. So he's in pretty good shape, too. The only two guys that did not make the trip were Taylor Gabriel, so he'll miss his second straight game, the wide receiver with a concussion, and Ted Larson, who was backing up Kyle Long at right guard. He did not come to London either with a knee injury, so but Kyle's back, so he should be all right. That's the latest on the injuries.
There you go. There you go. We'll be making our picks a little bit later on. Don't worry about it. No big deal.
So you guys are London experts. Where should Adam eat and hang out while he's out there?
At the Bears Bar. They have a Bears Bar there. We're always talking about. You got to go there.
They do. I actually am going to go. There's a big Bears thing tomorrow I'm going to go to. And however, it is 9 o'clock here, guys. I have not eaten dinner. So if you do have recommendations,
I'm going to tell you. I don't know where you're staying, but there is. Do you like Indian food? Okay. The best Indian food in the world is in London. So if you have an opportunity to do that, and you can't get, I mean, there's great Indian food in America. There's great Indian food in Chicago, actually. But this is a totally different situation there. So if you like Indian food, man, I know there's a lot of people go Indian food. Oh, it's amazing. It's like Chinese, except it's from India.
I would go to Brown's, which is like a proper English type of place where you can get a pot pie and things like that, like comfort food, British style. There were several of them.
It is.
And the pubs all close at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. You got to go. I mean, London's a little different than the outskirts, but you got to go and eat now, because you take your sweaty sweatsuit and your 3 day old underwear and your flip flops and your Crocs and get over somewhere, because you're going to have to do that until somehow your luggage shows up at your hotel. There you go.
All right.
Thank you, Adam.
All right. See you guys.
Adam, see you, Adam. Right, enjoy London.
There he goes.
Go Bears.
We got Ben Bradley joining us here in just a moment from the WGN TV newsroom. But first, Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour from the WGN radio newsroom?
Some students in Northwest Indiana got the day off due to the discovery of Legionella bacteria. We'll bring you more coming up.
All right. Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN TV newsroom, where important things are always being discussed and handled. Are they not?
Sometimes
Ben?
They are.
Yes.
Let's sometimes.
Wait. Let's wait. Oh, there we go. Yes, we're good to go. What is happening today? Must be something big.
Well, we've of course had the verdict for the second man who was on trial for the murder of 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee. This guy's named Corey Morgan. And he was the one who, you'll remember, prosecutors say was kind of the impetus for the execution of this 9-year-old boy. While Corey Morgan did not pull the trigger, prosecutors said it was the gang shooting of his mother and brother earlier that caused him to want to go out and seek revenge. And, of course, the details that have come out as he and another man have stood trial over the last couple of weeks have been absolutely chilling, from, you know, luring this 9-year-old boy, who is the son of a rival gang member, into an alley with the promise of a juice box, to the execution of this little boy, and really just the lack of remorse or sentimentality,
humanity,
yes,
that, you're looking for.
That was on display, that we heard about via testimony from how they talked about this murder after they were arrested inside the Cook County Jail. Just absolutely awful. This is a murder. I hate to say it, but in a sea of Chicago murders where people sometimes, get overwhelmed by the numbers and the faces and the pain and the grief, this is one I think everybody remembers. So justice today delivered in the form of a second verdict. We'll have the latest on that. Plus, a story I know you guys are watching, and that is Dan Webb, special prosecutor who was appointed in the Jussie Smollett case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember a little while ago, he said, oops, I forgot. I accidentally made a campaign donation to the person he's investigating, State's Attorney Kim Fox. And so there was some question about whether or not Mr. Webb could maintain his impartiality. Today a judge said, yes, he could, that a campaign donation does not mean that he can't be impartial. And the interesting thing I thought is the Tribune went through all of Mr. Webb's political donations over the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, guess how much Dan Webb has donated to politicians and political entities over the last 25 years?
Oh, God.
Oh,
millions.
I'd say it's like, I'm going to give it a number, $725,000.
I'm going to go over.
Oh, you guys are
725,001.
Are we doing Price is Right rules here?
No, that's not fair.
Come on down. No, it's actually a lot lower, $375,000. But I thought that's a huge amount of money.
Now, granted, it still is.
You know, is
because there are limits.
Yeah, as reporters and journalists, we don't make campaign contributions. But could you imagine just over time spending that much money on politicians? You know, the other little known secret outside.
Well, I mean, if you're, I mean, especially if you're in a situation like Dan Webb, where you know they're getting a lot of government work at Winston. Strawn, which is fine, and they're a great law firm.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember who the it wasn't Jim Thompson, the former governor of the state of Illinois, the senior partner there, right?
Yep.
And they're that's.
But you'd think the Winston and Strawn political donation would have been the, hey, we're defending George Ryan for free. Yep, hey, we did our thing. You know,
but I don't think they did. I think they stay heavily involved, and most law firms do in politics.
Yeah. Well,
they're giving regularly, and they host fundraisers regularly as well. In fact, this one in particular was hosted by his firm, wasn't it?
And she showed up late. He wasn't even there. They just everybody, all the partners had to give a $1,000 check, and they did. Mm-hmm. And that's just the standard what they do.
I want to ask you about the impetus of this, because I think that's important. Is it Kim Fox who was concerned about this donation? In other words, she thought there was a conflict there, or did someone else raise this?
No, I believe somebody else raised it. I think, you know, worth mentioning, Dan Webb not only donated to Kim Fox, but he had also previously donated to Fox's predecessor and nemesis, former state's attorney Anita Alvarez.
So you always got to cover your bets. Yeah. You know, that's what you got to do.
Well, no, but you're right, though, that these, you know, that these law firms host fundraisers, which are kind of meet and greets where different candidates come in. Doesn't just have to be a state's attorney. I mean, politicians of all stripes come in and, you know, the partners are asked, in quotes, to, you know, write a check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how one of the ways politicians are able to, you know, with one stop, collect a lot of cash.
Yeah,
sure.
Get it. All right.
That's the way
so
it goes.
We've got that story for you. Plus, Jared Payton is in London. I know you guys were just talking about the Bears in London over there.
Yep.
We're going to check in with Jared live today at 4 and 6 o'clock.
I hope he can find his underwear because our own guy, Adam Hogue, couldn't find his.
Oh, no.
The airline lost his luggage. You know that whole thing. International travel.
Bad.
Yeah. Good thing Adam's on the radio, though.
Right.
Imagine, you know, a TV reporter that happened to. What, you know, Jarrett would be with what he wore on the plane.
They have nice clothes in England. I mean, I'm sure he could find some.
He's wearing his Zuba pants, which is what all sports reporters wear.
Yeah.
Why not? On the plane, that'd be comfortable.
I made the mistake a bunch of years ago of buying a suit at Harrods when I was in London.
Oh,
thinking
fancy.
Like, oh, this is, you know, I got to do this, whatever. And not realizing that it's, you know, the European cut.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it
not made for us, Ben.
Yeah, and not made for today's generously proportioned male.
Yeah.
Oh, so, in the midsection?
The knickers stopped just above my ankle. Couldn't get the suit coat closed. Biggest waste of money ever.
And then it's double-breasted, I bet.
Back then it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't look nearly as good as the fine British chap who sold it to me.
Yes, I know. Right. That's how that goes. Mm-hmm. That's how that goes.
Bloody good.
Yep.
Great.
Thank
you very much.
Oh, excuse yourself.
We will have none of that language on the radio.
Exactly.
No,
what
really?
What the hell are you doing? All right. So I noticed how I stayed calm during the Kim Fox conversation.
Yes. There were no fire drills.
I am okay with this. I'm okay. I think that Dan Webb is a really skilled and a guy with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the $1,000 donation is going to change the outcome of this investigation because they're going to find that something really stupid happened there.
Well,
that's my guess.
We've already found stupid things that happened just from our Freedom of Information Act request and reporting on text messages.
Right.
You know, Dan Webb has always been above board. He's certainly, you know,
former U.S. attorney.
But, you know, Jim Thompson, former U.S. attorney, but also former governor. You know, there is an establishment, there is a clique, but I think Dan Webb is among those who are always generally regarded as being beyond reproach.
Right. And I think the most important thing is you got to get somebody who does not know who Jussie Smollett is.
And Dan Webb
you got to get a guy who doesn't watch Empire because then, and I got a sense that Dan Webb is not a big Empire fan.
No.
You know, this is a Terrence Howard.
Dan Webb probably still has an over the air TV that gets 2, 5, 7, and 9.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to UHF.
I see Dan Webb as a guy who likes Mannix reruns. You know,
that's what I see
right there. Mannix. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So you got to be a certain age.
No, I don't know.
See what I just did there?
I would say Matlock.
Why don't you go swear in British?
All right.
Blimey. Yeah. Is that good enough? Is that past the test?
Yo, wanker.
Oh, you've been called that before. See, that's you're just,
That's dirty, Ben.
Yeah, that is dirty.
It? Yeah.
Very.
People always call me that on social media.
Well, because they think you're that member of parliament.
I better
the
go
Ben
Google
Bradley.
It.
Different one. It's a terrible word. Right. Oh, really?
And
no.
My apologies.
Awful.
Yes, but I think it does fit you. All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
have a good
it.
Weekend, guys.
Ben Bradley, WGN TV. Now, WGN Radio with Kim Gordon. She's got the news. Thank you very much, Kim. I wanted to do this story for the last couple of days because it's been driving me nuts. So there is a bit of a controversy at one of the L stations here in Chicago that, to me, cuts to the heart of the problem with humanity.
Okay.
Birds.
The bird thing?
Yes. There is a woman who has been... Oh, well, let me just go back here. So the Irving Park Blue Line Station...
Yes.
Apparently has become like a bird sanctuary. This happens on the downtown, too, on the loop station at State and Lake.
Yeah, right. I know what you're talking about.
They get... Because the birds, there's like a...
It's a sanctuary in there.
Yeah. And then there's just the entire street is filled with bird poop. But here in Irving Park, same problem. But there apparently is a really good reason for it. There's a woman who has been feeding the birds. She says that she has spent $300,000 feeding God's creatures.
$300,000 on bird feed?
Over the last years.
What?
How do you spend that much money on bird feed?
Cheap loaf of bread for a dollar.
She's feeding these birds at the Irving Park Blue Line Station?
She takes, what she does is she's going out and she's getting, rice and breadcrumbs and stuff like that.
Oh.
Although I think you're not supposed to feed them rice, right?
No, their bellies explode if you feed them rice.
I thought that was a myth.
I would like to do that.
Oh, well, we should look that up.
Whatever. She claims, though, I mean, this is the thing. They are officials.
Pigeons will eat breadcrumbs, according to this. Popcorn and other food left behind by people. I don't know if that's exactly what you should. Their favorite food, though, grain, corns, peas, wheat, and sorghum.
Sorghum. Oh, let's get them sorghum. It's very important.
I don't know where one acquires that, but that's on the list.
Sorghum? Woohoo!
I feel like pigeons even eat other pigeons, so I don't know. There's just...
Classic flying rat situation.
Yep.
Now, remember, there was a press conference last week at this station, and there was a lawmaker who got pooped on.
I remember this, because during the conversation he was trying to have with reporters about the poop problem, he got pooped on.
Yeah.
And it went viral, because all of a sudden it hit his hair, and he's like, oh, what was that? And everyone's like, well, you know, you got some stuff on you.
Hopefully, though. Oh, did I just get?
There's something in there.
I did. I just have to go clean it. But and that's what happens to my constituents. They get shit on all the time.
That's a great Chicago accent, too. I love that.
You would be right about that. Now,
and he's trying to raise money or get money, state funds, to help fight the bird problem.
Right.
Now, she's dishing out $300,000 to help bring the birds there.
Yes. And she has been, over the years, in that time, she's been arrested a number of times for littering and for shoving an alderman who was sweeping up the breadcrumbs
that
scattered.
Yeah.
And the problem is that there's a bureaucracy issue, though. There's three different government agencies that actually have something to do with this. They control the area of the station. So, I don't know, it depends on who's going to go over and arrest her. Right? Whether she's got to be the Chicago police, CTA, I don't know, FBI, what is it? Special counsel's office? I don't know.
For feeding the birds?
Yeah, well, let me throw something at you. I want you to go to find one of our trash cans. Here.
Okay.
And I want you to go downstairs onto Wacker Drive in front of a police car and just dump it onto the street.
Trash? That's different than bird feed.
Yeah, but you bring
the
birds.
You're bringing birds. You're bringing rats. You think the birds are the
eat it, so you're not leaving trash on the street. It's not a trash.
Well,
you don't get a
trash,
littering.
AKA the birds.
Well, they got her for littering.
How can they get
that's
littering?
That's it. Aggravated littering.
They didn't have something to get her on, so they had to pick that. I don't know. She's just trying to do what's kind. She's trying to help all animals.
No, we don't want her to help all animals. The animals are pooping on us. That is a complete medical disaster, biohazard medical disaster that's happening there.
The birds don't belong here? They're not allowed to be here?
No.
We should have a total bird-free environment.
Yes. Well, here.
They're a nuisance.
They are. Listen, if this were the, you know, this were a pterodactyl or a bald eagle or something, I would disagree with you. But these are pigeons.
So we only care about them when there's only two left?
Yeah. You know what? And when the pigeons, when there's only two pigeons left, I will not care about them.
You still won't.
I won't.
This woman also helps the homeless and stuffs money under their pillows as they sleep. She's an angel. This is what she is.
All right. Well, then
she's helping out the
world. She should be giving them sorghum,
too. Random
acts
of kindness.
Save the sorghum. Give the homeless the sorghum. Do not give it to the birds. That's what I am suggesting.
She was charged with misdemeanor battery for pushing the alderman. Poor woman. She was sweeping up the breadcrumbs he had just given them, and she didn't like that.
Right.
I'm on her side on this one.
No, you can't be
on her
side.
I totally am. I mean, littering? If the birds eat the food, you're not littering. I don't know. I think you need to chill out a little bit about this one. It's just...
But they have to power wash a station every couple of weeks because this has become a pigeon sanctuary because of this lady. The pigeon lady.
The most remarkable part of this story, how the hell do you pay $300,000 in bird
feed? That math doesn't work.
I don't care if it's 11 years.
It's about $30,000 a year.
They have pictures of her coming out of grocery stores with rice and breadcrumbs. So I don't know how you can get rice and breadcrumbs to total $300,000. Even in 11 years. It's a lot of pensions.
So that's $27,000 a year is what that is. So at $27,000, how much? Can somebody do the math here for us?
What's the math?
I need to know. Yeah, you went to Lane Tech. You'll be able to do this.
Sure.
Let's see. We got to figure out what the price of bird seed is.
Per day?
Yeah, let's get like
$73 per day. How is that possible?
73 bucks a day. You can't. That's not possible.
Let
me ask you something, though. If she spent $73 a day, if she spent $73 a day on bird feed, wouldn't you then say that this is excessive and maybe she shouldn't be doing that?
No, I think that she's just, I mean, I don't know. I think there are bigger things to worry about. I really do. And I think she's just helping out the poor little animals. It's just, they have to eat, don't they?
You know what? They can eat without her. I don't know. We're not doing it around here. There's pigeons all over the place. I don't think we want to create.
Remember Mayor Daley's war on the pigeons?
Yes.
He put those little, like, chirpy sounds in Lower Wacker and Lower Michigan. So whenever you're walking around the tourists, all of a sudden you're,
There's a huge hawk, predator.
It's like, what is that? I mean, it's pretty scary.
I was all for it.
He hated the pigeons.
Yeah.
Mayor Daley.
Well, right. Because you know what pigeons do? They eat breadcrumbs and poop.
Thank you, Texter 708. The rats eat the bird poop, so that's the problem.
Right.
Now it causes the rat problem.
And then the rats eat whatever's not also being eaten by the birds, because then the rats show up.
But rats eat everything. Let's just be honest, right? They eat everything.
But, I mean, what do pigeons provide the city? In a positive way.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not allowed to exist because you guys decide they have no use?
If they're a nuisance, then you got to take care of it.
Right. You want rats? Should we feed rats?
We have this battle in Michigan because people have lake homes, right? And there are a lot of geese. And people hate geese because the goose poop is so darn big. It's bigger than most dog poops, right? So it's everywhere. So everyone wants to hire these companies to take the geese away. And they go away, and I don't know where they go. I've asked a lot of questions, and no one seems to want to answer where they go. But the geese go away, and then we live geese free. But it's like, I think the geese were here first. I think they have a.
I don't think they were.
Part of nature.
They take them to a nice farm.
Yeah, a goose farm.
I feel like all the geese on the planet end up in the Lincoln Park Lagoon area. Just blocking the lakefront path.
They actually end up on every golf course that Kevin and I play. That's where they end up.
We have to pay a toll to get over the little creek to get to the next hole.
And have you ever been chased by a goose? I have.
Oh my
they
god!
Hiss, they, man. Yeah.
I
they
had,
hiss.
Why? Why was it chasing you?
Because they get mad. Because they get if you get too close to them and they've got they're taking care of their babies or whatever. I'm telling you, I have never had a problem with an alligator. I had vervet monkeys once on a golf course. Deer, elk. I think a Bengal tiger once. I don't know. Whatever it is, I have never had a problem like I have
Maybe
with the
that's
geese.
Because the golf course came second, and they think that they're still their home there. That's
no,
part
you
of
can
the
be
issue.
Running, and geese will walk right in front of you, and even though they're right in your path,
they're fearless.
They'll start barking at you like you're invading their territory.
When they hiss at you, it's scary.
Yeah, this is our territory.
Right. Everything's man's territory.
Right, it is
Let's
our
wipe
territory.
Out all nature. Let's just forget about it.
All right.
They're all bothering us. You're a nuisance. Yes, get out of here.
Exactly.
Kill it.
Right. Well,
Kill it
shouldn't be in a city. All right, let me ask you about the rats. You want to feed the rats?
No. Don't they have a right? They have a right to be here.
No, rats are different. Well, they are truly a public health menace.
Well, so are geese. Geese poop isn't good for you.
No one's eating the geese.
But what about the poop? What about the, you know, the when it gets air dried and aerated and you're inhaling it?
It dries out pretty good. Have you ever seen it? It kind of gets all crumbly. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, it goes
but what
away.
About the, let's go back to the pigeons then. But the pigeons, they're a menace. They're the health. You know, you don't want to get.
Have you guys ever heard the conspiracies that pigeons are actually aliens or government drones?
Such a Gen comment.
Yep. Hey, while I'm here.
Yes. I just saw, I just got an email from Rudy Giuliani saying exactly that.
Yeah.
So thank you for the help.
Why don't we ever see baby pigeons?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, I was at a museum, Wonder Museum, last weekend in the West Loop, and it's a really fun museum. It's like one of those Instagram museums where you take pictures of everything. And oddly, they had several rooms with like fake pigeons that looked real just sitting up on the rafters, and it freaked everybody out. Like they came off as creepy, I guess, to people. People don't like pigeons?
I mean, pigeons just stay away from
them. Does it bother you that much?
They're gross.
Yeah, they are.
There was like that one Simpsons episode where somebody sewed together a rat and a pigeon, and if it hit the ground, it would run like a rat, and then if it turned around, it was able to fly in the air. It was just
a bad combination. It's a bad combination. I have a little bit of a fear of birds from a childhood experience.
What happened?
It was my parents took me to Florida or something on vacation. And it was like the first time I'd ever like traveled anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they had a friend who had a condo in, you know, near Miami. So I'm out on the balcony of the condo,
yeah,
and a seagull comes up and standing there. And I just happen to have a Cheez-It in my hand.
Timing.
So I thought, this is so cute, because the seagulls are pretty, they're white, right? They're all like, mm-hmm, they kind of look like doves, except like they're a pigeon and a dove all together. And so the seagull is looking at me, and then I gave it the Cheez-It, and I'm like, oh my god, I fed the Cheez-It. And then like 300 of them showed up. It was like they sent that one down to be like the grifter seagull. It arrived. It did, and for the rest of the time. And again, this was my parents' friend's house, or uh-huh, you know, condo or whatever it was. I mean, we basically ruined it. I mean, we couldn't go outside. It was like the birds. And even if I went downstairs to the pool, they would see it was me. Hey, there's the guy.
Right? They do know. They do know because my daughter occasionally likes to feed the little ducks, and that's an issue too.
There's the cracker guy.
Right? He's got Cheez-Its.
Yeah, they're really good.
That's the filet mignon.
Yeah. How do they communicate? That's so quickly.
I don't know.
Like, because they do.
Because
they're
aliens.
One Cheez-It, and then all of a sudden, 100 pigeons know about it, or the seagulls know about
it.
They seriously love Cheez-Its. My neighbor used to throw them on her front lawn, and we'd get seagulls. And we do not live anywhere near the lake.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
the seagulls, you know, the seagulls are always around the Jewel parking lot.
They are. Why is that? They don't have very secure garbage cans.
Well, dumpster dive. You know, they know what to do. And, you know, a seagull, it's a water eater, right? It dives into the water, mm-hmm, and grabs something.
Yeah,
right? So they know how to get into the, they got it. They pick the locks. I'm telling you, they're a gang. They're a gang. They know what they're doing. I want all this done.
But the seagull didn't attack you, did it?
Yeah.
I mean, it hurt you?
They're all looking. I had the box of Cheez-Its. First of all, I got a box of Cheez-Its. You know how important a box of Cheez-Its is.
Well, you don't want to lose the whole thing.
Even as an adult. Well, I mean, they were chasing me around this little, a balcony, essentially, right? And I'm just running back and forth in this little balcony, and I got the Cheez-It box, and it's like all the Cheez-Its are flying out of it, and then more of them are coming. I'm scarred for life. This happened when I was 8, and I'm still talking about it.
You flinch every time you see a Cheez-It box?
I know, Cheez-It box or a seagull.
Wait, which one?
I can't even go down the aisle at Jewel.
Hide the Cheez-It boxes.
Right.
They're coming.
I see the Cheez-It boxes. Sometimes I crawl into a ball, and I start weeping openly in aisle 6. Try to get past the, and I have to eat the goldfish now. That's the only thing I can do. All right.
I like the seagulls, too.
Okay. Oh, good. All mm-hmm. right. Well, I'm glad you did this. Anyway, this woman should be arrested. That's all I'm saying.
Her situation's a little excessive. I think we can all agree. But charging her with battery?
Well, she pushed a guy. What are you going to do? All right. Anyway.
She's got a kind heart. She's also feeding homeless people. So
all right. Well, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I'm not okay
She's not on my list of people to go after.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to get some Cheez-Its from Mr. Patel.
Oh, God.
See what happens.
He's got them.
Please don't do it in front of me. Please, no.
Flashbacks.
telling you, the first time I saw that movie, The Purge, I'm like, ah, this happened to me, too. Look out, Timmy Hedren. That, don't give him a Cheez-It. Oh, my God, not a Cheez-It.
It is amazing that feeding frenzy is just, it just happens, right? In seconds.
Yeah.
One of them sends out a call, and the whole village comes for the Cheez-Its.
They know. They know. Yeah, again, because they're aliens. All right, let's check in now, find out what's happening in the news at the top of the hour. Here's Kim Gordon.
Row a win for the family of Chicago gangster John Dillinger. His grave will be exhumed after all. God. We'll tell you why coming up.
Oh, why? It's us. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on WGN Extra and CLTV. And I have made an enemy now of the pigeon-loving peoples.
Mm-hmm. All the bird lovers.
The three people, the pigeon lovers.
The people who love true. Pigeons people and love pigeon poop pigeons. And all other things related to pigeons.
Getting pooped on, I think, would be the worst of it all.
Well,
you ever got pooped on by a pigeon, you're not a pigeon fan.
Right.
Right. Immediately. The pigeons after that. I hate these birds.
I know a woman who got pooped on in the eye by a pigeon. One of my friend's moms did, and she had all kinds of medical complications from that.
I was going to say, might as well take the eye out after that.
Right. And by the way, in the end, you know what? You just don't never look up in this town. I think that's a rule to live by.
Mm-hmm. I got it in the mouth once.
Oh, no!
I was out running in the middle of nowhere, so you just wash it out with Gatorade and then, you know, basically burn your mouth off with peroxide and alcohol when you get home.
Yeah. I mean, after that, you're kind of scarred for life, right?
I hate birds. Yeah. Hate them so much.
But does everything taste differently now?
No.
Is life worth living?
Right? Every time you eat, it's like, wait, one time. Oh, the steak's not as good anymore because I'm thinking about that time the bird pooped in my mouth.
Or the nasty acid of the bird poop burns off your tongue.
Oh, dear God.
I am surprised that you survived that.
I don't know how.
Jen Strong.
Where was it? Do you remember? Was it at the Irving Park Blue Line stop?
No. Surprisingly, it was at Waterfall Glen out in Lamont.
There's a problem there, too. Turns out.
This pigeon, everywhere. This pigeon lady's listening right now, keeping tabs on all of us. We're all on her list.
Maybe she's going to tell the pigeons
right. Where
to go.
We've got enemy.
Yes. You know what we need? You know what we need in this town? We need more pterodactyls.
Yes.
I would like to get like that whole Jurassic Park thing. Let's just, you know, put a pterodactyl in a chicken egg, you know, the DNA. Let's have pterodactyls and have them, they'll eat all the things in the sky.
They can put them at every L-stop.
So what happens when they start pooping?
Well, the hawk sound on Lower Wacker in Michigan that we would hear, get those actual birds and release them into the city. They're the predators.
Then all the little dogs are gone.
Well, remember, okay, let me ask you this. Was it okay?
Little purse dogs.
You know, we have that falcon program downtown where they put peregrine falcons up at the top of some of the big buildings in the loop that are just there designed to go down and try to get the rats off the street.
Really?
I had no idea. That's a great program.
Yeah.
That's risky.
I know.
Take out some cow walking through the loop.
Small child. Like they come down. I mean, can they tell how big everything is when they're way up there?
Yeah, they can. They figured it out. They got it all worked out.
Is that still ongoing? I want to witness this.
Yeah. I believe it's still going.
I haven't heard about it in a few years, but that doesn't mean it's gone away.
Right. I think we just don't talk about it anymore. I think we're supposed to not discuss
it. Bad happened. Like, forget it. Forget it. Nobody talk about this.
Somebody got pecked to death. Some tourist gets pecked to death.
It's a bad idea, guys.
on LaSalle Street.
Their speed up to 240 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
Wingspan of 2.5 to 4 feet.
Oh, they're the real deal, man. Those things are the real deal. They brought them once in studio when they started the program. Oh. And you're like, and then you look at them, and they're like all business, right?
What are you looking at?
They look at you, and it's not like a pigeon that, you know, is just kind of nervous looking at you.
It's like, could I eat you?
Yeah, the peregrine falcon actually stares you down, and you're like, okay, all right, I give up.
Just feel like you did something wrong.
Yeah, yeah, it's that. I mean, and they're looking at you, and they're going, if you were just a little smaller.
So they actually stay on the rooftops of high rises. They don't just decide that they're
arboreal.
Chicago, I'm leaving.
Yeah, they or whatever they. That's what they're used to. They're like naturally like eagles, like any kind of hawk. They live in a tree. They don't. You know, they're not. I don't. Apparently, pigeons only live in L stops. So I don't know. But whatever this, they like to be up at the very top of these things, and then they go, you know, zooming down. and they take a rat out right in front of a little like 5-year-old.
Imagine what their eyesight is like if they can spot a rat from 28 stories up.
That's why they're birds.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing.
You hate to be, though, like playing with a rabbit or something, chasing a rabbit around the park, you know? Because there's tons of rabbits in this town, too.
There are.
And then all of a sudden, and the thing comes down, drags it, and the rabbit's like struggling while it's being carried away by the peregrine falcon.
Or tie a dog while you're holding the leash. Right. To keep it back.
I want to send that kid to me, and I will tell them the story about the Cheez-It.
Sit down, son. I got to tell you about a horror story. It starts with a Cheez-It.
Right, and the... and the balcony in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Yeah. I got time. Now sit down.
Rogue walks past like Lincoln Park Zoo, a park bench of kids eating Cheez-Its. Move over, kids. I got a story for you.
I've seen
some. You want to get killed out here? Don't you want a new kid? Huh?
You don't want to know what I've been through.
All right. Okay. All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Hawks game is over. Hawks lost 4-3.
That's
Laura Lapka seen running across the ice attacking the other team.
I was just watching this on our interior screen here, or as we call it, the television, and I think they just showed Lauren's parents in the game.
They did cutaways into the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was pretty nice.
Her parents had nice seats. She tweeted out a picture of where her parents were seated, and she was trying to decide whether she sits in the press box or there.
Oh, well, that's see?
But apparently record crowd, sellout crowd, but also record for that particular arena in Prague for the Blackhawks game today.
Okay.
For a hockey record, I should say.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll hear from her. She'll be joining us in just a little bit. And then we've got the weekend agenda. Jen DeSalle will be telling us what's happening in the streets and the byways.
Things to do this weekend.
Pigeon Fest this weekend? Are they having that?
I'm not going to talk about it. She's not a bird fan.
Not getting any press.
Text her, want to know if your husband ever kissed you again after that incident. Maybe he didn't tell him.
No, shh. He doesn't know about this.
Thank God. He doesn't get the stream either, right? I mean, he gets it. He just doesn't understand it. It's 4 o'clock. I got Blackhawks tickets to give away, too, around 4:45. Our first pair of Blackhawks tickets to see the Hawks take on the Oilers on Monday, October 14th. Please don't miss this. Right now, Kim Gordon has the news on WGN Extra. Thank you, Kim. And now it's time for Jen's agenda, which is
agenda.
It's like Lauren's list, except it's
except you and Kevin don't talk over the whole time.
No, we do. No, I think we're trying to find a way. The thing about Lauren's list, and Lauren Lapka will be joining us from Prague coming up in just a few minutes.
Good.
Where she was attending the Blackhawks game before the Blackhawks. They lost. That didn't seem particularly sporting.
Not what we wanted to see there.
So. What we do is, because it drives Lauren nuts when we interrupt, and Jen Jen seems to be less bothered by it, so it's less fun for us. You know, it's a very fourth grade kind of thing that's going on.
Oh, well, I could be bothered.
Yeah, that would be fun. If you could just be bothered the entire time.
That makes us feel better. Right. Yeah.
Right. They like to get that reaction.
Right, exactly. All right, so what's coming up this weekend?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things going on. First, let's start with a Fall Bulb Festival. This is at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. It started today at 10 a.m. and happens tomorrow and Sunday. Runs through 4 p.m. every day. Live music, a harvest market, cider, wine. There is a mountain of gourds. A huge mountain.
You know, you had me in wine, you lost me at gourds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty beautiful. I like gourds. And you can buy bulbs to plant now for, you know, things that pop up in the spring. I don't know. I don't plan ahead that far. I don't know about you guys.
Mm-mm. No.
No, I do herbs, but nothing else really.
Not a big gardener.
I'm just growing pot now in my backyard.
I mean, I want that instant gratification. So, like, why put bulbs in the fall?
Are you allowed to grow pot in your backyard?
You know what? Come get me copper. That's sort of where I am on this. I thought we're allowed to do that. No? Not allowed?
You're allowed to grow your own? I didn't think so.
Outside's risky. I think you got to stick to the closet.
Hydroponics.
Try and true method, yeah. Just hide them from everybody, even if it's legal. It just feels right.
What are you walking about?
What are those strange lights on?
Don't go in that room.
Right. Looks like the sun is actually in the room, right? Like you see it like creeping under the door. You see it like you're in somebody's house.
Why is it such a bright light in your closet?
And it's like this light is coming. It's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right?
Like
you're
in Narnia.
Like, don't open the door.
Do not open that door.
But when you walk in the house, you smell it automatically. There's no, you can always
That's
tell.
That's true.
And it's, you know what I have found now? I've found that it's like people over the age of 65. I go to their house, and they're growing their own pot.
It's a little project for them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Used to be just, you know, like your slacker friends. Now it's like your slacker friends all grown up on and they're on Social Security.
It was always so funny with the slacker friends who like slept in class. They didn't really have care for anything. And then they'd be growing the pot and they were so into it, giving me like scientific methods. I'm like, who are you? You slept through half a class the other day. And the guy knows every single technique, all the scientific methods.
So anyway, that's not.
No.
That's not going to be at this bulb festival.
I don't believe that they sell that at the Chicago Botanic Gardens.
All right.
Yeah. So the Midnight Circus in the parks. It's at Cos Park in Logan Square, 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. It's $25 to get in, but if you're under 2 years old, you can get in for free. Mm-hmm. Tickets are still available at midnightcircus.net. And I don't know if you guys realize that one of the stars of the Midnight Circus is a young boy named Maxwell Jenkins, and he is Danger, Will Robinson, in the Netflix series Lost in Space.
Oh.
He's from Chicago. Nice. Yeah. Midnight Circus has been going on for 12 years, I believe, going to the parks and raising money for the Chicago Park District.
And this is at, what did you say where it was?
Cos Park.
Glenn Kozlowski Park.
Which one's Cos Park? I can't say the
Kosciuszko?
Whole thing. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Cos Park. In Logan Square.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and next week it'll be at Jefferson Park. And then the last week that they're doing this is in Wells Park, which is in 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Love Wells Park.
It's a really cool circus. Lots of acrobats. Lincoln Square Apple Fest.
Oh, I'm so ready for this. The apple picking, the pumpkin picking, it's so I love this time of year.
You say, oh, God, but they have cider. Do you like cider row?
Not if it's not alcoholic.
Well, yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah, that's okay. Give me a little bit of a headache.
What's the best booze to put in cider row?
Oh, you mean like regular cider?
Yeah, like what would you mix with it?
Oh, it's a good
bourbon?
Vodka. Yeah.
Oh, vodka?
Yeah,
really?
Just vodka,
I thought Southern Comfort.
Then it's too. It's like double sweet. Yeah. Now, I'll take the rum, right? Cider and rum is fine. But like cider or apple picking, like these people, like you go on like on a horse, you go out to one of these places that's, you know, going to be on a hayride, and then you're going to go out and you're going to pick apples.
Corn mazes, those are fun.
Yeah.
Saturday Live did a pretty funny bit last weekend about this. About, you know, you go out and then, you know, you can pick apples, not just the ones on the ground.
Oh, gosh. He's going off on a tangent. All right. Go ahead. This is what he does, Lauren.
So it's like, I mean, why do I want to go pick the apples? I go to Jewel. Uh-huh. They're there. They're in a bag. It's easier.
I mean, you pick the apples at Jewel. You got to pick which ones are the roundest.
I don't know. I just got a bag. Right? I just got a plastic bag, and I just pray to God that there's not something living in it. That's it.
I find that the ones that are in the bags, there's always a couple rotten ones in there. Just can't see it.
And then you get like, you know, going, oh, we have to go find the perfect pumpkin. No, you don't. Jewel's got them too.
Bro, it's really, it's a fun thing to do. Get out and enjoy the fresh air. It really is. Try it sometime.
But
this is where guys are like, oh, my God, you know what? The college football's on. I can't go right now.
Right, you fear missing out.
Actually, that's funny because one of the ones I go to, they have the games on in, like, the little barn.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, for sure.
For the dance
for the guys,
floor.
Right. The guys are like, I'm not doing this.
Done with these kids.
Dad, stay here.
In Three Oaks, Michigan, there's, like, a bounce house outside. Like, okay, put the kids in there. And then they walk over and get the cider and hang out with
Although the last one I went to, like, one of these farm pumpkin patch maze places, they were, like, amping it up a little bit. There was a pumpkin cannon I was shooting.
What?
Oh, so yeah, that'd be interesting.
Where it was awesome.
Are you shooting it at pigeons?
yeah, that would work. I can't remember. An ex-girlfriend took me there. I don't want to text her.
Okay.
I think it was up in Barrington.
Don't make it awkward for him.
Hey, how you're doing? Listen, I know we haven't talked since the last time when I broke up with you by text, but can you remember the name of that pumpkin farm we went to with the pumpkin cannon?
I think it was up in Barrington. Isn't there a popular one in Barrington?
The Gobert's one? No, that's not.
I don't know. It was awesome, though. I'm like, I got to go do this.
Yeah, that
thing.
Is. That's in Barrington.
She's
South
like, there's
Barrington.
A pumpkin cannon. It was pumpkin cannon. I got to shoot something. It was awesome.
Yeah, that one's pretty pumpkin. Outrageous. They have like a petting zoo and everything. That's a corn. They have a corn maze at Gobert's. It's really a good one.
All right.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard about this. Well, it's okay. A texter texted in earlier and said the Boone County Farm Stroll, but it's put on by the University of Illinois Extension Program, and it's now titled the Northern Illinois Farm Stroll. Farms all over Boone, DeKalb, Ogle, and McHenry County are open up to the public from noon
cool.
to 5.
Yeah, I got to write that one down.
It's really neat. Like, some of them that are included are Willow Glen Alpaca Farm or Alpaca Farm.
Oh.
So you can go and see that. The Valley Orchard, Trogs Hollow, CSA, and Market Farm. They have wagon rides. There you go.
I don't want to be in a wagon.
Oh.
That's why we got invented a Chevy. I don't need it.
Nature's Best Trees and Bees. You can learn about beekeeping at that farm. McEachran Homestead Winery. There's a winery. There you go.
row. You like?
Yeah.
Right?
I like that. Yeah, but I don't want to drive 100 miles to go to a winery because I got to get back.
Has a winery in his bar.
Right. I know that. You know what? I got Binnie's down the street. I just go right there.
Well, how do you find out about this? Because I'm interested in this.
Extension.illinois.edu.
How cool is that?
So it's through like the University of Illinois. And there's also a Facebook page for it. But there's tons of farms. I just only named a few. Mm-hmm. And something that I've learned over the years about our listeners is that they extend all over the place. So I bet there's a lot of people who live nearby these farms that would recommend it.
Well, we did have those guys in for the Carnarvon Wagon a couple of months ago. They're doing that whole trail down there. There's like there's wineries, but there's also distilleries and there's fresh meat, you know, place like these small, like artisanal beef growing people. Yeah, you can't grow the beef. You know what I mean? Herdsmen.
No, beef grows on plants.
Cattlemen, kettle persons. And that's like a really great, I think that's a very cool thing. But you're going down and they have like, they've the restaurants there and then they Uber can find you down there. That's the most important thing as far as I'm concerned.
As long as Ubers can get to you.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't want an Uber. I don't need any like an Amish Uber showing up where it's just like a cart with a horse. I don't need that.
As we've learned recently, those are pretty, dangerous, right?
Yeah, sure.
Horses like can just take off and run without you.
And I don't want to pick my own stuff.
Right, what else do you have, Jen? The Napier Settlement Oktoberfest. Hey, it's October now, so now it's time for Oktoberfest, and we've had weeks of these already, but mm-hmm. Napier Settlement Oktoberfest. Today it goes from 5 to 10, and then Saturday from noon to 10. The Pokeholics are playing. Everybody loves some Pokeholics. and then tomorrow night, dun-dun-dun, wedding band. They're in Naperville. I mean, right? So
very cool.
Yeah, they drink a lot in Naperville.
Okay.
Oh my some God,
really,
do they ever?
There's some
and
really
there's
cool
swingers out there too. I understand.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see.
Yeah, look on the front lawn. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Wait. What's on the front lawn?
There's like a thing that like there's like some sort of a swinger symbol.
You're random out, Ron. This is a secret underground swinger universe.
There's like
a,
what's the symbol?
There's like a thing that they put on the lawn that lets you know, oh, that's a swinger house.
So you just walk up and, hey, you guys are swingers so much.
No, you just walk up and they just hand you a tray or like a bowl and you can put your car keys in it and you can just keep moving.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I think that there's a lot more.
This is not in the, by the way, Naperville Chamber of Commerce does not publicize this, but go ahead.
Oh.
I just think you sent a lot of traffic to Naperville Road.
Yeah, they might actually gain from that.
Well, you know, if you want to go out there to do some of that, you can also, there's a pretzel eating contest at the Napier Settlement Oktoberfest.
Oh, sure.
Bavarian pretzel eating contest, yes. And you can meet and greet Duke, the Bush's bean dog from the commercials.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so you know that's not the real one.
It's well,
you know,
I mean,
there's probably 40 of them around the country.
I think it's like the fourth or fifth
Duke.
Yeah,
oh, but, he's great.
From 1 p.m. to 3:45, he's going to be there. Everybody wants to pet a puppy.
Yeah, he's a big hound. I love him.
And
all right, go ahead.
Speaking of petting puppies, I didn't even talk about this.
This is the swingers. I think that's what it is. They just go to that website.
Petting puppies. Yeah. You know, back to that Apple Fest thing, because I didn't mention that there's the pooch costume and contest parade tomorrow in Lincoln Square at 10 a.m. So you can bring your pooch all dressed up and try to win prizes.
That is so cute. I love seeing that.
Love it. So races. We have a lot of races this weekend. The Bucktown 5K is up in the Bucktown area, so it's going to be closing North Avenue and Webster, Ashland, Milwaukee, and that's on Sunday.
Because that's great for the traffic up there.
Yeah.
Right? It's always bad.
I mean, they should just shut those streets down anyways and, you know, open them up to bicycles. I don't know. Or something.
Scooters.
Controversial.
What is wrong with her? How many miles are you going to run this weekend?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure.
Watch out for the pigeons.
Yeah, right. Probably not going to do much. Comer Children's Race for the Kids 5K is on Sunday, and that's down in Hyde Park. And then there's also like a half marathon challenge down in Grant Park tomorrow. That starts at 7:45. I need to ask you guys a question because you know all about this. The beloved Judy Pilek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's she doing tomorrow?
Goodbye, girl situation.
Yep. She's going to be at the Goodwill in Lake Zurich on South Rand Road.
What is she giving away?
A couch size.
A couch.
She's giving away what she says is some sort of a Halloween decoration, like a table decoration, but she said it's the size of a couch. So we're suggesting that you go to Apple Chevrolet, buy a Silverado, and then go and try to win that thing.
New line of sauce. Oh, go ahead.
But she'll be there from noon to 2 tomorrow.
Okay.
There you go.
That'll be fun. Go meet Judy. She misses everybody. New Lenox Oktoberfest happens tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. They got TCBY frozen yogurt. I didn't know that those places were around anymore. That sounds great. Craft beer.
The marketing department really appreciates that. Wait, what? Wait, what did she say?
You know, I loved growing up eating TCBY, and then
they were
just
everywhere
for a while. Disappeared. I don't know. I mean,
you just
don't
see them as much.
They're as upset as the mayor of Naperville is right now. Everybody's calling.
But Naperville might be a little bit more fun with the whole swinger situation. Yeah, I don't know. Yogurt is.
I got to remember what that is. There's a symbol. There's a something that's, you know, that you know.
It's like a secret underground society.
Yeah, no, there's a deal that they do. Maybe somebody on the text line can explain it to
us. Like, there's pigeons on their lawn.
There's something. It's like flamingos. It's like something like that.
Oh, flamingos.
Yeah, it's like an indication that it's...
We're a swinger household.
Yeah.
I think it's time to grab a wagon and some cider and go on a tour of Naperville looking for swingers' houses. Then where would go?
A swinger tour. That's what, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And the Chicago Parks.
Hey, you guys... guys, you kind of looking in the doorway. You guys, is there anybody else here?
I have my keys.
Yeah, here's my car keys.
Saw the flamingo outside. Figure we take a stop.
Figure maybe, you know, the wife's still in the car. She's getting ready. Anybody in here?
Apparently, right, swingers are into white landscaping rocks and pink or purple decorations in the
That's
front
it.
Garden.
There you go.
So
the
if you went into the flamingo house, you would probably be, okay, pink
white,
or purple decorations.
White rocks. White
Interesting.
Rocks. Yes.
I was like just thinking, do I have any white rocks in my front yard and I need to go get rid of them all?
That's why they keep showing up.
So a couple weeks ago, I was staying with some friends over in Michigan. And there was a conversation about this because the people like next door had the white rocks.
Oh.
And they were like talking about it and they're trying to figure out, and they knew the whole rule about whatever that was. And I'm like, I got back in my car and I drove back as fast as I could.
You didn't knock on the neighbor's door?
No. I was like, everybody's like having the conversation. I'm like, I just forgot. I'm supposed to be in London for the Bears game. I gotta go.
So the pink and purple decorations, are they like flowers or what?
I don't know.
Rocks and yard decor. Also the pineapple, another swinger signal.
Okay.
According to the New York Post.
Oh.
They actually do an entire article about how to know if your neighbor's a swinger.
Wow.
And there are several identifying markers, but I don't want to hijack your entire segment on this.
I'm intrigued. Really interesting.
I'm going to go. When I drive through my neighborhood tonight, that's the first thing I'm looking
at. Oh, yeah. I'm taking the dog for a walk.
Wear your black ring on your right hand if you're out and open to meeting other swingers.
A black?
Go through the whole thing.
It's a black ring on your right hand.
Yes.
Which finger?
It just says right hand.
I'm going to get a black ring.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Pink, actually, you're right. Pink flamingos on the lawn is a telltale sign along with the white rocks.
Yeah. There you go.
According to Reddit.
Oh, okay. Man.
There you go. Learning so much.
Driving to Menards right now, buying white rocks.
Or no, there's a guy driving home who just bought white rocks. And he thought, this will be great for my lawn. You know, it's going to be great. I get to the fall, the white, the whole thing. And now he's turning around and trying to get back to Menards to give them back.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I want to do an investigative journalism report now.
Yeah, about swingers?
Yes. Yeah. They live amongst us.
Yeah, it was completely freaky. It was like, oh, yeah. And that's what they, because they got the, like, and you see people like coming and going from the house. And it's like, okay.
They got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Driveway is always packed.
I've got nothing nearly as exciting on this.
Yeah, what else you got on that list?
The Chicago Park District has Halloween in the Parks today at 7 at Northerly Island with a Hocus Pocus screening. Now, that's cool.
That is cool.
And a fall festival for kids tomorrow at 10 at Union Park. Lincoln Park Zoo still has their fall festival through the end of the month. They have face painting, a corn maze, hay mountain. There's nothing. No.
But there are a ton of those. The pumpkin patches are open in the corn mazes and, you know, within a short drive of the city for sure. This is a good weekend for that.
Where's Swingers Fest?
Especially Sunday.
Right?
They're going to be picking apples and then swinging.
You just drive around and look for the flamingos and the white rocks.
Just telling you, you got to get to Naperville, look for the white rocks. That's all there is to it.
The Bears play the Oakland Raiders on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that.
I didn't think so.
It's only 5,722 miles away. We're going to be good.
Took your show off.
And they play at noon, right? Even though they're in London, which seems strange, but this will be a night game over there. A noon game for us.
Right. At least they don't have to do it in the morning. Some of those games end up starting at 9 a.m.
Right.
Chicago time, which really screws you up if you're a, you know, if you're better. All right. That's the agenda. Thank you, Jen. Let's check in with Kim. Find out what's coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, House investigators have questions for Vice President Pence. They want to know if he helped President Trump pressure the Ukrainian president. We'll have more coming up.
It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on WGN Extra. And we are going to be joined by the radio station here in just a few moments, maybe about a minute or so away from that. And we're going to have the news at the bottom of the hour with Kim Gordon. You can continue to listen to us at WGNradio.com, or you can come over to 720 AM WGN. I want to thank people who are listening to us on the app or listen to us on the web, and they were able to find us. And today and throughout hockey season, it's going to be a little more daunting because obviously the Hawks are on the mainstream, and then we will be on the WGN Extra stream where you often find Bill and Wendy.
Right. So thanks for finding us. Right.
So appreciate it. We appreciate that very much. Bill and Wendy's Extra Hour is there. So that's how you know to get to it, either through WGNradio.com, through the WGN app. Those are the two best ways to do it.
Very easy to do once you just log right onto your computer or right on your smartphone.
Right.
Or tablet.
I love that app. The app is a great
way. It is. It's so easy.
And we got a pair of tickets to give away to a Blackhawks game that's coming up in just a few minutes. After the news, we're going to talk to Lauren Lapka, who is in Prague right now for herself, but we're going to say for us at this point.
So, yeah. When she checks in, she will be for us, yes.
For being on the web.
Exciting to be there, even if it wasn't the outcome we wanted.
All right. So here we are. It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN Chicago and WGN everywhere, the WGN app. People have been listening to us since throughout the afternoon with the Hawks on the radio and the mainstream on the WGN Extra. You can find us. Always look at the WGN Extra if you want to hear the WGN radio personalities when there is sports on the radio side. So
we're still there.
Yes,
we are. Got to find us.
It's 4:30. Let's check out Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Townstone Financial. There you go. Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks in Prague. Drop the first one. Drop the season opener in Prague. 4-3. Exciting game. Our own Lauren Lapka was there. And I can just imagine. She is such an emotional hockey fan. I can only imagine how crazy this got for you. There. Did you?
I'm finally drying up after standing in the rain for 20 minutes to absorb what I watched and felt in the dark, by the way, as well. So I'm getting better.
Dark. wait.
You know?
It was dark in the arena?
Well, after I left. Oh, after I left, I felt the need to stand in the rain for 20 minutes in the dark.
Oh.
To just kind of wash away my sorrows. I was having deja vu of last year. At the end of last year, I don't know if any of you kind of felt that when you watched the game as well. It felt very familiar to the last few months.
Yeah, it did. They were right there. Although I will say this, I think my favorite moment of the day was Andrew Shaw getting a penalty and being in the box. I love seeing Andrew Shaw in a Hawks sweater in the penalty box.
Doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got that look on his face like, what did I do? Oh, I know what I did. It's exactly the thought.
Fairness. So a Flyers member, I can't even remember who it was at this point, definitely cross-checked first before the whole, like, rough and tough moment happened.
There you go.
Again.
Yeah, because he was fighting.
He didn't be in the box.
I like
it. But again, because it's him, he definitely was in the box.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So how was the crowd? What was the difference between the Hawks fans and the Flyers fans there?
So it's funny because if you looked around, I would definitely say way more Blackhawks fans, but the Flyers, I definitely think, felt the need to prove themselves. So they sounded a little bit louder, but we also had more Go Hawks chants happening than the rest. So, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag.
They set a record for a number of people in that stadium for a hockey game.
Oh, isn't my gosh.
Cool?
Yeah, 17,463. So it was sold out and was also a record for theirs. It was amazing.
Yeah, and so did you talk to a lot of the folks? Did you meet any people that are going to the Bears and the Hawks? Because it seems, just anecdotally, I've run into a couple of people who are very lucky Chicagoans who've somehow worked their way to be able to attend both games since they're both in Europe.
I didn't meet any personally, but walking around Prague, I definitely saw a fair amount of Bears shirts and things like that. So one could assume, but yeah, it's kind of crazy. Well, you know, Chicago, we got crazy fans. They're they're dedicated.
We travel.
To spend that kind of money to go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say the local fans there were Hawks fans, or was it just so many Hawks fans traveling to get there?
Hawks fans traveling, but Flyers too. But honestly, there were a lot of people that are from the area, or at least Europe, that just came to watch hockey. And some picked a side, and some didn't. But and some were wearing both. I saw actually maybe more than a dozen people wearing something Blackhawks and something Flyers.
That ain't right. That ain't right. That's like dogs and cats living together. That's not right. Hey, what is the? Let me tell you something. It just occurred to me. Your parents made television today.
Did they really?
Yeah, there was a cutaway of with the two of them sitting there without you in the seat next to them.
So, were you in the press box?
No, I was only there in the beginning, and I was like, oh, these seats are pretty good. I'm going to sit here.
Yeah. So it's right near the end of the game. So I think that was it was pretty cool. But there is a they kept showing a lot of Chicagoans, obviously, because it's the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast of it. Mm-hmm. So they were able to get, I don't know how they worked that out, because I know that was not an American crew working the game. I think the director was American, right. But and the truck crew was, but the camera people were all from there. And so it was really an interesting, it was interesting to watch on TV while we were able to see it. And I got to say, Jeremy Colleton has a look on his face right now.
It's intense.
Yeah. He does not seem, he was seeing things out there he was not happy about.
You could tell.
And
Corey Crawford
didn't show a lot of it. They didn't show a lot of Colleton on the big jumbotron there, but the one time he did, I noticed, was after Keith got that delay of game penalty, which we all agreed was BS. And he was like, just shooting bullets with his eyeballs. And
yeah.
He seems like he's got such a nice face. That's hard to do with his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but he did it.
All right. All right. So overall, very exciting. You'll probably be on the flights coming home with all the rest of the Chicagoans who are on there that are coming back from that. Those who are not lucky enough to be able to move on to London. I mean, if you're over there, you've already done that. You might as well take, what, it's like a 90-minute flight or 2-hour flight or whatever it is to get to London from Prague, and then you're like, you're there. And then it's,
even if you go watch it in a pub or something, it'd still be cool to be there for that moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, if I would have extended my vacation instead of, the Blackhawks deciding to follow me, I probably would have would have done that.
Hey, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, I know this is all very expensive, but it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing to be able to see, especially if you're a Hawks and Bears fan. Right? I mean, and that's a lot of us.
Well, they're Chicago's teams, right? You got the White Sox, you got the Cubs, but then everybody's a Bears fan and a Blackhawks fan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lauren, if you decide that you want to go watch them and a cough, cough, sniffle, sniffle happens on Monday, I'll be here for
Well, actually, they did cancel one of my flights.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, but it already got worked out, so don't worry. I will be there.
You'll be back on Monday?
Yes.
All right.
How many flights you
I
got
might
to jump on?
I might be very tired. Well, I'm going to Munich tomorrow. So that's what they changed. They canceled an entire flight where we had a connecting flight in Vienna for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they canceled it and just made it direct to Munich. So Munich back to Chicago. So not too bad.
All right. Well, we'll expect to see you back here Monday on this program.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
I'll be jet lagged, but I will be there. You know
Bring
me.
Us souvenirs. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you bought for us, but there better be something
good.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see.
Yeah. I mean, if you're all the way there.
I stole a keg of beer from Oktoberfest.
You know your audience.
We'll put it in the office right next to the Knarble wagon.
Exactly.
Yeah, does the Knarble wagon have room for that?
Does the overhead have room for that? That's what I'd like to see.
I'd like to check a keg.
I need some help getting this
keg,
up into the overhead place.
Right. I can imagine TSA would be a problem.
Emotional support keg. I got it. It has certificates.
Provide emotional support.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more
there
reasonable
is an argument
than like
for
a flamingo or peacock or whatever people are bringing on planes.
That's what I do call my emotional support whenever I'm flying. Is that so
clinging to a whiskey bottle?
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. They're little ones, and I feel it makes me feel like if you drink a bunch of those, you're like, it wasn't like a real bottle.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah, count.
Yeah. All right, Lauren Lapka in Prague. Thank you, Lauren. Fly safe.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
see you soon.
To you.
All right, I got
see
tickets
you,
right now. If you would like to see the Blackhawks a little closer to home at the United Center with a brand new, unbelievable board.
The scoreboard
is
outrageous.
It's going to be crazy, and this is going to be on October 14th against the Oilers, right?
That is correct.
All brought to us by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Tune in every Monday all season long to win a pair of tickets to the Hawks through Four Seasons. And it's October 14th, like I said, yes, against the Edmonton Oilers. Caller number 19-312-981-7200. Caller number 19-312-981-7200.
Good luck.
Kim, what's going on in the news for the top of the hour?
The special prosecutor looking into wrongdoing by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office in the Jesse Smollett case will remain on the job. We'll tell you about the judge's decision coming up.
It's a Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We got news at the top of the hour for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Please stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
We checked in with Lauren Lapka in Prague. She seems okay.
She seems okay. The Hawks, we wanted them to win, but that's okay. We have a texter who says it was great to be out here with fellow WGNers, a lot of them out there in Prague for the big game. Even with the loss, it was fun. And all the souvenirs were sold out, Jeffrey tells us.
Jeffrey
and Pam from Milwaukee.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
It's probably because Lauren bought so many for us. So thoughtful of Lauren.
Really was.
You know what? That's what we're going to say to her when she gets back here. And we're like, where's our stuff? And she's like, oh, I left it on the plane.
No keychain? No t-shirt? Nothing?
Ow. All right. Well, we appreciate it. It was so much fun leading up to that. I know Mr. Cochran is out there as well.
Yes.
And he'll have a lot to say about
himself.
Yep. On Monday morning, he'll be back here talking about what happened there. It's fun. It's fun to, I'm sure it's fun for the team because they get to spend. They were gone. I think they're on the road together for over a week, right? 10 days, I think.
Yeah.
Because they were in Berlin first.
Mm-hmm. On Sunday,
and then they then on their way to Prague, and things did not quite go as well.
Not for the season opener.
Good news is the next 7 games at the United Center.
Amazing.
Yep.
Great.
So that's a good thing. We want to make sure that we get off to a hot start because that's important. Because we've been down a few roads here, and we're not going to,
They'll be all right.
I'm like, should I be worried yet? I don't know if I should be worried.
No, there's 81 more games. Let's not panic just yet.
Okay. I'm already panicking. I'm also panicking about the Bears, because I don't think they're getting enough sleep. I got that problem right now.
Yeah, well, Matt Nagy said that he's just so impressed with the energy of his team, reporting he was talking to reporters there, and they look great. Did you see them, Kevin? You see the video of the Bears?
Some of it, yeah.
Working out and practicing. Oh my gosh, they don't look jet lagged.
Well, how would you look jet lagged in a practice?
Are you kidding? You wouldn't have that much energy, would you?
Well, no, I wouldn't have energy to do this anyway.
You can tell. I think you can tell.
All right,
we'll be just fine.
They look good.
How many Red Bulls do you have to be able to get sort of in that position? Is Red Bull a banned substance in the NFL?
I don't think so. No. No.
That's allowed.
But come on, Khalil Mack against the Raiders? Look out. We see what he's done already through the first 4 weeks.
He's been just on a tear. But also, he does respond really when people ask him about playing the Raiders, right? He's just he wants to show them what's what.
I will say the beat reporters talking to Matt Nagy look much more tired than the actual players do.
They didn't get the full lie down sort of seats on the airplanes.
They don't get the same sort of travel amenities. I don't think so.
I do need to know what the Bears airplane was. I've been trying to figure this out. It had to be a charter because all the Bears players got to sit in lie flat seats. And they carry, 53 with them for the players on the roster. And then you got the coaches, they got to make sure that. So is that like a plane that's all first class, all that lie flat first class stuff?
And I don't know where those guys would fit. How do I get that plane? Normal seats. How would they? They wouldn't. So you need a special plane.
Well, that's what Robert Kraft. He did that for the Patriots. He got them a special plane.
He bought a plane for them.
Right. That's got it's got all first class seats. I don't know if it has all the lie flat.
Yeah, I don't know. This plane has got to be massive because you look at the way all the seating is positioned. Everybody has their own seat, and it looks like it's positioned towards the aisle instead of your traditional row seating.
Right.
These are kind of angled towards the aisle, and everybody
away from the window.
Away from the window.
Yeah. Because it was on the Bears app today. They had pictures of them, all the guys. And it was funny because they would show 5 or 7 of them in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of there. And then it would say, you know, from left to right, you can read who the people are. And the one with Khalil Mack in it, Khalil Mack is, you know, he's doing some sort of almost like a hook 'em horns kind of sign, you know?
Is he? He's not UT.
No, but he's got sort of a, I don't know, whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he go to?
Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, you know what? That would be Buffalo, right? Don't they have that too? Anyway, point is, he's there. He's got the thing. He's doing the deal. And his fingers are gnarled, right? Like every great football player, when you meet them and their fingers go in 15 different directions.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
I know when Hamp walks through the halls here. Like, you don't even have to, you just kind of see him. And the first thing that pops is like, one, every time I see him, I'm like, God, he's so huge. And then you see his fingers, I'm like, that's a football guy right there.
totally
fingers
true.
Fingers going in like 10 different directions.
I know this is a HIPAA violation, but this happens to be true. That's what's going on. So it was Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack had that look in his eyes. I want to send that as a meme to John Gruden. Just to say,
thanks,
hey,
John.
This guy's coming for you, and for your cute little quarterback, whatever his name is,
Derek Carr,
cute
who was really good buddies with Khalil Mack when Mack was in Oakland.
Right? They said that it's going to be really fun because they're going to try to outduel each other here.
Right.
Virgin Atlantic flight, 208 people.
Wow.
There you go. This must be specially outfitted, but that's what it is, according to the Tribune.
Yeah, those tired beat reporters didn't get this treatment.
I don't think they got that.
No, they're all like our own Adam Hoge lost, as we talked to him earlier on the web show.
Oh, poor guy.
He lost his luggage, and he's going to be at the game. There's only so many times you can turn your underwear inside out.
Oh.
I have to explain
yuck.
To him. Yeah, there's only so many ways to do that.
Luckily, he found that the grocery stores in England tend to also sell clothing, which is a weird thing, but that does happen. There's a few of them. I knew there was
just
Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah.
But he found another one.
Do they put the Speedos next to the bananas?
They're really close. You know how some like superstores like Costco, things seem to have a flow to them? The clothing is there. And the,
right.
The food items are frozen. The electronics. It all
right.
Is very
Target
segmented.
Like that. Yeah.
At a Marks and Spencer's, not so much. You do. You see the clothes right next to the food.
Right.
Listener texted a picture of the plane they took, Ralph, if you want to take a look.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Will that help you a little bit?
I would just like to know what it is, because is that all first class? Do they have that? Because it
guess.
Must be what it is.
Yeah.
Super cool, though. Because it is you definitely want, for me, I'm so mad about them not going earlier.
You
want I just want to
happen.
Imagine, because as a, you know, as a man who has, on occasion, spent a few dollars on an NFL game, this is the kind of edge that I would definitely bet against. I would the betting edge goes to the Raiders because they've been there for 4 days. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, all those odds makers come up with.
Khalil Mack's getting a lot of love in London. There's also a video of him. People know his name, I guess. Is that possible? Maybe just in the advanced promotion for this game. So very excited he's there.
I did find it kind of funny. One of the beat reporters tweeted out, you know how they fit mannequins with the football jerseys and stuff like that?
Right.
There's like an NFL Pro Shop pop-up thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a mannequin of tackling another player. And the player doing the tackling is Derek Carr's jersey. And the player holding the football is Khalil Mack. So I think they're excited, but they don't exactly get the game all that well.
I could see that,
that's
though.
Weird.
Could you not see that?
Yes. It'd be like us watching rugby. Would you really know?
Yeah, I guess maybe like a pick six situation.
Yes, could be a pick six, right.
But maybe. I don't think they were seeing it that way.
If there is a pick six, it'll be a genius thing that they did at Harrods or wherever the hell they did this at. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck here, as far as you know.
Well, we wish the Bears the best of luck. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Because we wish the Raiders any luck.
No, you know what? I want everybody to get back healthy on this. Mm-hmm. I don't really care so much about the Raiders, but I feel really bad for the people in Oakland for what they have gone through. So we're just trying to get ourselves, you know, in a... We the Bears, we need to, this win is really important because this is a way to steal here.
Totally. Right. Yes.
And then besides that, we also need a healthy team coming back because we've already a little bit had the injury bugaboo here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember we said that we had to have a totally, what were the chances you're going to have a health window like we had last season?
Right. And now you already have your starting quarterback who's out, at least. Obviously, he's out for this game, and maybe he's out for they have a bye week, which is great. And, you know, maybe he misses that following week, too. We just don't know yet. So all that coming away. All right, a top 5 of 5 coming your way. Canarbo Wagon's going to roll. Richard Roper's going to tell you about Lucy in the Sky, which is a really interesting movie about a very weird moment in NASA history. And then we got Live Music Friday. It's all coming your way right after the news in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
I know we got to get to the top 5 of 5, but can I share a great text? 312, we were talking earlier about the Bears flying. It led us to our talking about flying in general. And this texter shares what Ro would be like at the airport, checking in with a full bar cart. And you identify it as your emotional support bar cart.
That's fantastic. That's very good.
Which everyone can see without too much of a stretch of the imagination.
Yes, yeah, totally true. Thank you.
Why is that not allowed?
Thank you very much. Texter from, where is the texter?
312.
312. Oh, that's my mom.
She knows you.
The top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5. Let's go. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Battling an impeachment inquiry, the president fired up his base, speaking to young conservative black activists at the White House today, says that Democrats are trying to steal their votes.
They're trying to steal your vote. They're trying to steal your voice and steal your country. Shifty Schiff. How about Shifty Schiff? He got 4 Pinocchios today in the Washington Post. He lies like a son of a gun. He's been lying for 3 years. But we will never let that happen where they take away your country. No one in America has been hurt more as a result of the Democrats' corrupt leadership and socialist policies than our nation's African-American communities. It's true. That's true.
Shifty Shift. Those 4 Pinocchio ratings always are a little jarring if you see them, because they look like back in the day when they would rate, you know, the latest adult film releases.
Mr. Skin.
The person next to you was reading it on a train or a plane, you'd say like, what is that?
Yeah.
Creep.
Those are Pinocchio. Those are noses. Noses, sir.
Oh, gosh. Oh man.
3.5 Pinocchios always meant something different. You know?
You know what? Here's how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly exhausted by keeping up with the last couple of weeks' worth of news. And football starts tonight. College football starts tonight. Mm-hmm. Kev, who's on tonight?
Hang on a second, Roy.
Right, sorry, I shouldn't have rushed to you right there.
We got a UCF Cincinnati situation.
Oh, I like UCF. Yeah, they're fun.
18th.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So it starts tonight. You got all day tomorrow.
I agree. Enjoy your college.
Right.
We got
NFL on Sunday, and I'm not going to pay any attention to anything.
You got San Jose State for that late one, Row.
Yeah.
For one more drink, a 9 o'clock kickoff. Midnight's coming around the corner.
Yep.
Oh, great. West Coast football.
Yep. I love West Coast football.
Same.
I love University of Hawaii. If you get they're at home at the Aloha Bowl, you get to watch them, and it's still. It's 10 o'clock at night here, and there's still sun in the sky there.
That's good. That's known as the gambler's last chance to get even bet. Because after that, you have to go to Australian horse racing.
I've done that.
Before the day.
You've done that.
Going around the bend now. Crikey, it's a good one.
Number 4.
Judge, that's absolutely true. Judge Michael Tooman says he's keeping a special prosecutor looking into why the state attorney's office abruptly dismissed charges against Jussie Smollett. Despite conflict of interest questions, his decision came after former U.S. Attorney Dan Webb previously disclosed that he was one of the named co-hosts of a 2016 fundraiser for Kim Fox and actually had donated $1,000 to her campaign. But he said he does that for everybody.
If you look at the data, he really has. He's donated $325,000 to political candidates over the last 11 years. That's a lot of giving.
Webb also said he didn't remember the event because he doesn't think he was even there. She showed up late for it. It was like nobody left.
His law firm, right?
Right. She just showed up, went to the conference room of the law firm, collected the checks, and left.
Well,
that's basically how those things go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you make a speech to some of the people who are still there. There's always one really aging partner in those things.
Who asks a ton of questions.
Right. He's sitting there because he doesn't want to go home.
Oh.
Aww.
sad.
Anyway.
Anyway, he also gave to her opponent in the race, in the primary, right? With Anita Alvarez, so.
Covering those.
Yeah, you got to cover that. Yeah,
well, that's what you guys look at it. But you could also look at it. He wasn't exactly favoring one or the other. He was giving to both and sort of taking that middle ground.
Juicy Smollett.
Yes.
Juicy Smollett. Smollett.
I do think that at the end of the day, this is going to be one of those, almost like when the Mueller report came out, like we're looking for something and it's going to be, well, she shouldn't have done what she did. And it was, it won't end up. Amounting to much. I think when the final determination is done, because they're not going to like throw her out of office. No. They should! But that's a separate issue. My guess is she's not going to get reelected. It's going to be a lot of people running in this.
A ton of people lining up already, and more even rumored to be in the pipeline. So it's not going to be an easy race to win.
Right. See the campaign ads, smart like a fox or dumb like a fox.
I think
Jussie will make any appearances in the campaign ads against her.
I think or in Chicago, no.
Pull the full Madigan, too, and run somebody named Kimberly Fox 1X.
Oh, jeez. Oh, wow.
That's what you got. You got to find a Kimberly Fox and run her. That's what you got to do. That's what they do in this town. Find somebody with the exact same name. Put them on the ballot.
Yeah. I'm Kimberly Fox. My father was a bowler and a firefighter. Here's my entire family.
I haven't even been to traffic court, but
I've never even seen Empire.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. And there's some good ones in here, by the way. We got the Bears. We have a very, very bizarre story and a tribute all coming your way in the top five and five. But let's now check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, Microsoft says hackers have hit a U.S. presidential campaign. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Something funny happened on the way to the top five at five today.
What's that?
Because I forgot to play the audio from number two. I got so carried away telling the story of number two, which was Dan Webb is going to be allowed to stay on the special prosecutor looking at the circumstance here with our dear friend Kim Fox. Here we go.
I do not know Kim Fox. I have never met Kim Fox. I have never even so much as talked to her. So I have no biases in favor of or against her.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. I don't think there's anything too suspicious about this one.
I don't think we
even though the national media is making it seem as if here we go, Chicago politics again. Yeah. This isn't an example of that, I don't believe.
Yeah, I don't either. Because he's been down the road. But at the end of the day, it's not going to amount to much.
You mean the whole investigation into the improprieties or alleged improprieties? Mm-hmm. Surrounding this,
I would drop the word alleged too.
You would drop it.
I have a sense of what it is. All right, top five. If I were up to
number three.
All right, the Bears arrived in London as they prepare to take on the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. They wanted to stay on their pregame routine this week. They remained at House Hall to practice before flying out last night. Akeem Hicks wanted to get the Queen's guard to laugh at his dad jokes. How'd that go?
What do you call cheese that isn't yours?
Ta-da.
Nacho cheese.
Right.
Okay, we'll try another one. I got another one in the bag for you somewhere in here. What concert cost just 45 cents?
Ta-da.
50 Cent featuring Nickelback. All right, I got another one for you. Did you hear the rumor about the butter?
No.
I won't spread it.
Butter. No, it's meant to be funny. We have a saying in this country, golden rule with humor, is if you're not funny, don't be.
Okay.
And you're not.
Oh!
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
Mess around.
Not a sense of humor there.
Not intimidated by the size of the man, apparently.
Akeem Hicks going to play?
Game time decision. Lingering knee.
Maybe the guy thought he'd get outrun him. Maybe that was it.
How about famous Raiders acquisition Antonio Brown? Are we going to see him on the field at all? Yeah. I haven't been keeping up with that.
Who knows that guy?
He might disappear. That on Hard Knocks. He had some frostbite or something. Anything happen after that?
It happened overseas as well, so who knows?
Yeah. Put on his own helmet and he'll just show up.
Maybe going to the Trubinsky house to watch.
Was he talking to an actual Queen's guard, the guy with the black hat and everything?
Aren't they not allowed to speak?
Yeah, not allowed.
Isn't that the famous bit that you always go up to them?
Because they won't say, they wouldn't give the whole shtick back.
Right.
No, that one was, right. Yeah. All seems right. Like a plant to me.
That was Chase Daniel.
Boris Johnson, he was talking about with.
Who's in for Trubisky, joked that fans in London mostly enjoy one aspect of American football.
Every time I've been over there, they seem to get really excited about kicking a ball. And this is, I'm not being facetious at all. It is literally like when we kick a field goal or when we kick off, it's like the loudest I've ever heard the stadium for obvious reasons being soccer.
You remember, I'll never forget that first game after World War II that Chase Daniel was the quarterback in.
Wow. Chase Daniel tweeted out just 2 hours ago, and this may bother you, Ro, because it might be too late at night for you to feel really, you're keeping track of sleeping schedules. Mm-hmm. He was out for dinner with Trubisky and his lovely wife and others out in London.
It's 11:20 at night in London. Go to bed! Well, go to bed! You got a game in a day and a half!
Direct message him. Let him know.
I am.
Thank you for the picture. Go to bed.
Go to bed. I want everybody in bed.
Chase Daniel's not going to get in any trouble. He's one of those.
He's one of those guys.
Fly straight, go upright. How do they go straight, right, upright,
yes,
fellows,
right.
That guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, the Twitter account
fly
where it starts
right.
With, you know,
yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that.
God, and I'm not making fun of that, but he's one of those guys, you know.
Okay.
Well, I'm
family man.
Trouble.
Yeah, 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 that, and that's
straight,
fine.
Straight shooter, if you will.
He's besides his ARP card just arrived, so he's gonna have
see
to
again.
Oh, bro!
I feel like he talks about he's been there many times. I'm like, have you ever thrown a pass there? Okay, he's like, it's not that big a deal. You fly all the way over there.
Had to hold a clipboard on the sideline.
Yeah, you get a nice walk on the sidelines. You back on the plane. You don't feel that bad. I'm like, well, you know, it's a little different. If you're Cam Newton and you come back in three different planes, you know?
Right, right. Your kidney has to fly separate. Oh, man.
I think he's going to be great. Bears are going to do well.
I think so, too.
I'm like very nervous.
Bears. I like the Bears given the 5.5. Raiders are, man.
Mr. Patel had a big-time prediction for me and Ro this morning when we were out there.
Mr. Patel from the convenience store downstairs?
Yep.
Mr. Patel, I think, what did he say, 36 to...
35-6.
35-6.
Like yeah, he's expecting a big-time beatdown.
True story, engineering just dropped a wire, and they said they really dropped a wire 18 stories down so that he could be connected when we're on the stream so that he can hear the radio.
Let's check in with Mr. Patel, our correspondent down 18 floors below.
He's wired.
All right. Let's don't say that in this town. Oh, God. You're going to ruin his business.
Yeah, that's not right. Didn't come out right.
All right. Jacking in.
Number two.
The post-surgery haze is real, except rarely do average people have their vulnerable moments shared with millions of people on social media. That's not what happened. Or that is what happened to Andrea Swift. She is, hold on. Let me see if I've got this. Taylor Swift's mom, Andrea.
Right. Oh, Taylor Swift. T. Swift's mom.
She gave the video to Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. Of Taylor Swift post-surgery, post-laser eye surgery, where apparently she had gotten, I don't know, they didn't really drug you for that, but
no.
Something happened there. And she wasn't quite herself.
So she found a snack.
It wasn't the one I wanted.
Stop, you can't cry. That's not supposed to be what you're doing.
I tried to get this one.
I'm going to get the other one for you.
This one, but what do we do with this now?
I'll eat it. It's mine.
But it doesn't have a head.
You don't fall asleep eating a banana, okay?
I'm not asleep. My mind is alive.
Oh, wow.
That's one of her first hits. I'm not asleep. My mind is alive. She wrote that about her first romance. Yeah, I had that. I had the LASIK, and they just kind of freeze that area. They want you actually conscious. Right. And then they give you something so you sleep after. So your eye, because it takes your while for the vision to uncloud. Could that be a setup? Acting?
Never. To promote the new album?
Number one.
Legendary and award-winning actress Diane Carroll, widely known for her trailblazing television role as Julia, as well as her roles on Dynasty and Grey's Anatomy, has died. Carroll was known as a Las Vegas and nightclub performer, and her performances on Broadway and in the Hollywood musicals Carmen Jones and Porgy and Bess. She was approached by an NBC executive to star as Julia Baker, a widowed nurse raising a young son on the comedy. Big-time NBC sitcom. Mm-hmm. As the sultry fashionista Dominique Devereaux,
the first prominently featured African-American character in a primetime soap opera. Carol played a much edgier character for three seasons on Dynasty and its spinoff, The Colbys, delightfully dueling with fellow diva Alexis Carrington, Joan Collins.
Look, Miss Devereaux, whatever it is that you're doing in Denver, I suggest that you tread very carefully with me. Let me ask you, Mrs. Colby, is that supposed to be an implied threat of some sort? Because if it is, I am just as tough as you. Maybe tougher.
Diane Carroll, I'm sorry, trailblazer, dead at the age of 84.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
All right, yes, but I made a career out of it, so it works out just fine. The wit.
I change now.
Rooftop is here for the Carnarvon Wagon rollout, and that is a that's a big deal right there.
It is.
The Wit is a beautiful downtown hotel. If you're coming down, I make a suggestion. If I just may humbly do that, you live in the Chicago area and you are thinking about coming down for the holidays, especially for the Thanksgiving parade or for shopping, where you can go to all the stores either in the Loop or on Michigan Avenue. The Wit is a great opportunity. They got a great spa for the people who want to, if mom wants to go get a massage or a facial or whatever, and dad takes the boys over to, one of those places where, dad takes the boys, Hooters for lunch. The Wit is a great way to do this. They have a brand new, they just updated their rooftop. They were the first big rooftop bar in Chicago. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Pioneers.
Pierce Smith.
Yeah, that's right. So it's about 10 years old at this point, but over the past summer, we did a multi-million-dollar renovation of roof, which has basically been a culmination of all the food and beverage changes that we've made over the past 3 years. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah.
The lobby is so vibrant when you first walk into that hotel. I just love it. It's got this great vibe. But then the Wit up, the rooftop, what you're describing, even before, I haven't seen the renovation, but it was just this really cool place to sit, relax, take in our beautiful skyline.
And the view is amazing, too, because you're looking, you're sort of in the middle of the canyon there, and you're looking at all these things that are spiking up over you. And it's really super cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I'm from Savannah, Georgia, so any of these giant buildings fascinate me.
Right.
Just to be up there, just amongst everything. Mm-hmm. You've got a view of the lake. You've got a view of the river. You've got everything.
It's a great idea for people, for families. I think, I'm telling you, man, this is, you cannot go wrong. And especially, I don't know if you probably already sold out for this, but if you're not and you want for the Thanksgiving parade, which is really fun on State Street, because you're at State and Lake.
Yeah, you get a little bit of, you can go down into the chaos and then come up to roof and look down onto it. And you're like, yeah, I was just in that madhouse.
Yeah.
And just, it's a really good, as you mentioned, the prime location. You can walk to anything.
Right on the river there, too. You're blocked from the river. You're blocked from everything.
It's a great spot. What is the renovation? What did you do? Because I thought it looked great before. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's just, we did a lot of technological updates. We have a beautiful artisan wall, which is a series of 9 8K capable screens, and then one giant projector, or it used to be a projector screen, now it's all LED, and they're smart TVs, so they adjust the picture based on the light, so if it's dark out, perfect picture. If it's bright light, perfect.
And what'd that run you?
Where'd you get it?
That's 8K. See, this is the problem. They keep doing this to the TVs, right? You get to get the 4K, and then first of all, I don't know. I'm still on a 480p or something like that. And then you get to the 8K, the 4K, the 8K. What's next? Well, 16, right?
The 8K, is actually a marked difference, though. The 8K, it's a thing. Some people say that the human eye can't actually discern anything higher quality than 8K. That after that point, they can just tell you.
They said that about 4K.
Yes, but I can tell you, having seen it, if you put 4K next to 8K, everyone will be able to tell what 8K is. And especially, as you mentioned, with the light sensitivity and everything, it'll be amazing. The picture.
You're showing games and stuff up there? What are you doing for the rooftop?
We actually programmed a lot of digital art.
Oh,
we have cool. A series we've already launched it, Pop Sundays, but really leading up into the Andy Warhol exhibit, we have a lot of Liechtenstein and Andy Warhol pop art that we're actually pairing with champagne and obviously Chef Nathan's really cool food program. But yeah, as you mentioned, I had just bought, I think, like a 3K TV, feeling good about myself. And I
whoops.
What did you do?
Yeah, 8K. I was like,
right. It feels like it just came out.
And as you were mentioning, the human eye not being able to function. When Neocon was there, and the first time we were seeing like the absolute beyond picture perfect renderings up on there, like, I'm no stranger to technology. I was like, you can touch that. That's real.
It's insane.
And wow.
So very fortunate to all the
tech. That's the big design. Neocon's a big design. Yeah. With the largest, I think, design convention in America, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I casually mention it like everyone knows.
People are more and more savvy, though. But I like the idea of the sensory experience. I mean, the truth is you can see games anywhere in a million different places. But to go up on the roof and have that thing where you kind of get lost, you've got the skyline of the city. But then you have, as you mentioned, the Warhol and the Liechtenstein, the great kind of cool pop art tied into the drinks. That's cool. That's like a movie scene.
Drinks? Yeah. Oh, there are drinks. Drinks.
And there's some here, too, right here.
See how I brought that in? Brought that home?
I see what you did. Piers, you brought a couple different cocktails for us, just to make sure that we don't go away hungry.
I like to keep everything well lubricated, moving forward. So I brought two of our new barrel-aged cocktails, and then another fall preview, which is going to be what happens on French Quarter stays on French Quarter, which is a...
I've always said that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we don't need to know how you got the beads from Mardi Gras. Just wear them. It's fine. So the two, I've lined them up from left to right. We've got the barrel-aged Negroni. All of these are aged in-house for a minute.
For those of you looking at your radio right now, left to right, just go from your left to your right. All right.
That's to help us drink them, bro. We need that guidance, quite frankly. That's very nice. Very smooth.
Negroni is very nice. All right.
So I used a lot of the there's a huge trend in Japanese spirits out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah. It's in Rose Home Bar. There's a huge trend in the Japanese spirits. I can vouch for that.
Yeah. It's great. The Japanese,
terrific.
They
really
are
good,
not inexpensive,
right?
Though. It must be stated that the Japanese whiskeys, you're thinking, well, if it's not a scotch or it's not a bourbon, maybe you're going to get kind of a deal. You're not, but you're going to get a totally different experience out of them.
Oh, it's fantastic, the different expressions they're coming out with. So with the Negroni, I used Roku Gin, which they've just came out with. Yeah. And I did a cherry blossom infused vermouth. Some Campari and Aperol.
Oh, man. That's why it's got some rich flavor.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Well, barrel aging is generally going to add a little more depth of flavor because, like, with whiskey, for example, 60, 70, sometimes 80% of the taste and flavor is coming from the barrel.
Wow.
And so we have private barrels of products that we carry on roof, and I use those barrels or the staves to add a little depth of flavor to the cocktails.
And is there whiskey in those barrels?
There was. I mean, I just selected our new private barrel of Whistle Pig last weekend, and 6 to 8 weeks
gone.
We'll have. Oh, I mean, I'm going to help.
How long do they last? How long does one of those barrels last up there on the roof? An hour? 2 hours?
A couple months.
Boss has got to do some quality control, you know? Hey, step aside, guys.
Show party.
That's dedication. That's all that is.
It would be irresponsible for me not to.
Yeah, totally.
I can't recommend something we haven't had a test drive ourselves. Okay.
And I noticed you have the Manhattan here. Now, this is a great fall classic, too. Again, I'm just suggesting for people who may want to do a staycation or something around the holidays
I've done it there.
It's great. It's amazing. It's a great place to be. So I'm just saying if you're out... wherever you happen to be in the Chicago area and you want to do this, they have a Manhattan. And the Manhattan, to me, that's my drink. It's very hard to get a great Manhattan.
There are good Manhattans almost everywhere, mm-hmm. but great Manhattans are hard to come by. Okay. As a matter of fact, you have to almost have to be in Manhattan to have a
great How about that?
Manhattan. And yeah. this is you're doing something very special here.
Yeah, so this is actually a cross between, as you were saying, the super expensive Japanese, some of the Japanese marks, the master blender from Beam Suntory or from Suntory whiskey in Japan came and made a bourbon with the master distiller of Jim Beam, producing this product, Jim Beam Legion. And so I use that, a little bit of house-made falernum, which I infuse into the sweet vermouth. Then that sits for 8 weeks in the barrel, gets a little more interesting, and then
wow, it's great.
Some house bitters.
It's really good.
Oh, house bitters. That's that was my nickname.
I know
college.
It was. Yeah. Delta house bitters.
And then finally, what's this French Quarter thing you're doing?
Yeah, so it's essentially a praline Sazerac. I'm from, as I mentioned before, Savannah, Georgia, so anything pecan, praline, sweets, yes. We love it. And so I take a pecan liqueur, and then I spice it up behind the scenes. Then a Sazerac is traditionally either cognac or rye whiskey, so I go ahead and use both. Little bit of an absinthe.
Can't decide. Yeah, it's a better way to go.
Well, might as well. Mm-hmm. Anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
That's delicious.
May I also suggest a romantic weekend here now that I've been tasting these? Leave the kids at home.
If only we were in a hotel.
Right.
And from the rooftop right down. Yeah,
you're at a spa. Before. Maybe you do that. Maybe you book two times. You book once, now is like October and for a little like romantic weekend. Then you bring the kids back for Thanksgiving. And then you stop and you think about remembering that romantic thing. And then you're trying to figure out how you're going to sneak into a bathroom upstairs.
Geez, here we go.
At the rooftop. All right. Piers, forget that I just said that. Thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate
it. Really good.
Anytime.
At the Witt Hotel, which is down at the corner of State and Lake. It is a DoubleTree by Hilton, by the way, in case you're interested in
to get points or whatever.
To get points. Mm-hmm. You might want to be interested in all of that. Mm-hmm. And Roof on the Witt is where you find the all their social media stuff. It's really, really cool stuff. Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, the impeachment inquiry is heating up once again. A House committee has just subpoenaed the White House for documents over the president's push to pressure Ukraine's president to dig up dirt on the Bidens.
All right. Now, Mr. Richard Roper is going to be telling us about Lucy in the Sky coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, we got some live music for you in the 6 o'clock hour in the back end of the 6 o'clock hour there for you. Carla and the Fat Cats.
Great name.
Yes. And Phil Atrium. All in one thing.
Cool.
Yep. And the Fat Cats is PHAT, by the way. That's how you know. That's how you know they're good.
Okay, gotcha.
So they're going to be playing some stuff for us. And we'll not only go through the, because we've been talking about a lot of stuff this weekend with Richard Roper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Obviously, the Joker, we talked about that yesterday.
Right,
if you missed that yesterday, we'll update you on what your thoughts were on that film and what it's appropriate for.
Yeah, we can talk about the early box office returns on Joker. And as you might have heard, there's a movie controversy every darn day. And the one and only Martin Scorsese was asked in an interview about the Marvel Universe movies. And you could probably guess what he had to say about those movies.
Yeah.
And now Twitter is all a Twitter about what Marty had to say. So we can talk a little
trending
bit about
right
that.
Now. People are, lashing out at the Scorsese for what he said.
What's he so mad about?
He's not mad. Here's the thing. The funny part is, what did you think he was going to say? What he said was, they're obviously not from Martin Scorsese's 80 years old. He's one of the five greatest filmmakers of our time. Maybe one of the five
of
greatest of all time. Yeah. I mean, there's no disputing that. His work will live forever. He's got The Irishman coming out in a couple of weeks, his latest opus. And what he said was, it's not cinema to him. He says these are entertainments that feel more like theme parks and roller coaster rides, which is, quite frankly, what almost every critic says about these movies, including myself, and I like the movies. And he's saying it's not what I do. It's a different type of universe. And he's right. I mean, there can't be much different. I mean, you're talking about different types of movies, even the best of them, even the deepest of them, are nowhere near the level of films like Taxi Driver and Mean Streets and Raging Bull and Goodfellas. And we could go on for 25 Martin Scorsese films.
Right.
So I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's slamming the Marvel Universe.
It made such a good headline, and that's what started a trend. That he doesn't think they're cinema. They're like theme
but
parks.
But they're not.
They're like theme parks.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's fine.
I mean, it's not Marvel Universe, but it is a huge franchise.
Pirates of the Caribbean was literally based on a theme ride. It was a theme ride first.
And by the way, a highly offensive theme ride.
Yes.
Really? Why was it so offensive?
Oh, well, there was pillaging.
Yeah. When I was a kid.
There were yo-ho-hos.
Even when I was a kid. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely
true. I remember when you the first time I saw it, and there's a bar scene in there where the drunk guys are chasing the bar wenches around a table with weapons.
Oh, gosh.
What do you think they were doing there? Now, Disney eventually got around to fixing that.
No, they did before. And look,
it took them years.
I remember when I first heard they were going to make these movies, even with Gore Verbinski, who's a good director, I thought, what could they possibly do? Well, it's a multi-billion-dollar franchise. It was obviously a commercially motivated, series of films. And the same thing with the Marvel Universe. Yeah, they could get deep and everything, but come on.
And Martin Scorsese's new film, The Irishman, you mentioned, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, right?
November 1st. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that is a couple of weeks.
3 weeks away.
Believe it or not, 3 weeks, yeah.
That is going to be the buzz on that already, because it's, and we'll talk about that, later when we get to this, but that's going to be a very, very special thing. All right.
Okay.
Nobody move. We got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and that is 2 little minutes away. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, Richard Roper in the studio. Richard Roper we had so many movies this time of year coming out. Important films. Important cinema.
Sure.
And some of it not so important.
Just ask Scorsese. Mm-hmm.
But this week, all right, so we talked just very quickly.
Yes.
Obviously, right now, the big movie is The Joker.
Joker.
It's already trending for a big, big, big weekend at the box office.
Yeah, there was, first there were reports that it wasn't going to do this well. Now it's, looks like, as you mentioned yesterday, and you guys have been talking about, there's been a lot of publicity about the content and controversy. It's setting one of the all-time October Thursday records already for the first 24 hours. It looks like it's probably going to make $80 million, which is a lot of money for a hard R-rated film like that, opposed to like a big tent, tentpole PG-13.
Maybe $150 million worldwide.
And it's a film that will do very well worldwide. It just has a lot of themes and character, obviously, that the whole world knows about.
Right.
So that's very successful. I liked it a lot. 3.5 stars. Very polarizing film. My friend Michael Phillips of the Tribune gave it 1.5 stars today. And I could tell, because Michael was sitting right in front of me at the movie, and I could tell I know him, so I could tell by his body language. I'm like, he's not liking this. But I think it's great. I think it's a great character study. Amazing performance by Joaquin Phoenix. Then we have The Laundromat, the disappointing film from Steven Soderbergh about the Panama Papers scandal of the insurance fraud, and has all these great actors, including Academy Award winners Meryl Streep and Gary Oldman, but it just never comes together as a cohesive film. Then we also have Lucy in the Sky. That's why we were just hearing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Natalie Portman.
Yeah, and you might remember the story from about 10 years ago. Lisa Nowak was a NASA astronaut. She got involved in an affair with a fellow astronaut, and then a fellow NASA employee, a third person, got involved with the guy. So when Lisa Nowak, the astronaut, found out that her lover was having another affair with a younger, it wasn't an astronaut, but it was a NASA employee, she drove all the way from Houston to Florida to kidnap the lover take her hostage. That was her plan, they say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When the story, first of all, it became, very notorious and infamous because of the fact that we're talking about a NASA love triangle. Mm-hmm. And she actually was, arrested and charged with felonies and actually, was convicted. Because when she showed up in Florida, there was duct tape and a claw hammer and all kinds of other, things. And she actually did try a confrontation. It was not successful. She did, she was given whatever they say in NASA is the equivalent of a dishonorable discharge, a discharge without honors, I think they say, and pleaded out. But it became even more famous because the early reports say that she wore an adult garment the whole way so that she wouldn't have to stop, which may or may not have happened.
That was a headline at the
time. That is the basis for the movie Lucy in the Sky with Natalie Portman playing the astronaut. It's a completely fictionalized version of events, but there is a love triangle and there is the kidnapping or extortion type of thing. It's set in more like current day. Natalie Portman's character, she's got a different name. They call her Lucy Cola, which is just, I guess to avoid lawsuits or whatever. She's an astronaut. She goes into space for a couple of weeks, you know, on the space station. When she comes back, she experiences what a lot of astronauts apparently do experience, where they just, it's hard to shake off that experience. It's so transcendent. It's so amazing. There are physical changes you go through, but also just like you feel like nobody around here or nothing around here seems important. I guess some in a way, although it's certainly not as traumatic, but it's a PTSD kind of thing.
Right.
But from a almost, yeah, because you see the Earth.
The Earth is an object as opposed to your home.
Yes. So here's a scene where Natalie Portman, she's been back for a couple of weeks and she's describing to a fellow astronaut how much trouble she's having adjusting to life back on Earth.
You know how it is. You go up there, you see everything, the whole universe, and everything here looks so small. We're so small. And then you splash down and what? You go to Applebee's, you know, Monday Night Football. Clip your toenails, and all you can think about is,
when can I go back?
Oh, that's
and that
powerful.
You know, to me, that is like that is the that could be the genesis for a really good movie. That kind of exploration of the astronaut's mind. But the film goes all over the place because at first it's like, is it about this young woman who is, you know, she's been an overachiever, she's always been first in her class, she's never done anything wrong, she's very tightly wound, and she comes back. And she's in a, you know, a loving marriage, a very, you know, faith-based marriage. And now all of a sudden she meets a fellow astronaut, and it's John Hamm. That's the guy she has the affair with, you know, immediately. And her life starts spiraling out of control. But it's like, is this going to be a domestic drama? Is it going to be... At some point, there's some discussion about, well, how much tougher it is for women trying to be astronauts than men. Is it going to be about that type of thing? Or is it going to be about this crazy caper? Because she starts stalking the guy, and then kind of losing her mind and kind of flying off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over the place. And the style of the film is so self-conscious. There's all these overhead shots like she's at home just remind us that she was in space and slow motion. And then they change like the look of it. It's a widescreen film. It's a handheld film. It's a case of a director who's done a lot of good television making his film debut and saying, I'm going to use every single palette I have and every single paint in the box instead of just using the ones he needs. And you get so distracted by the style of the movie. It's like when you go to see a concert, they go, and now a drum solo. And 35 minutes later, you're like, oh, gee. So the end result is one of the most disappointing movies of the year.
One
and a half stars for Lucy in the Sky. It starts off so interesting.
We love
such
Natalie
a great
Portman.
Premise. And she's great. You can hear her there. She's got her little Texas accent going. And she's wonderful. She's never going to be bad in a movie.
And John Hamm is great in everything.
Yeah, and he's really, he's the worst. This guy, oh, man, he's a bad guy. I mean, he's a womanizer. He's a manipulator. He's a bad boy. And you can exactly see why, you know, he would have certain successes when it comes to seducing not just Natalie Portman's character, but a much younger female candidate and how he kind of justifies it all. He's always good. The performances are good. The writing is terrible, and the directing is really some of the most overwrought, heavy-handed directing I've seen in a major motion picture in years. So when you're watching it, it's so bad that you feel like did they you know, is this the right version of this film? Did they switch the reels? It's very disappointing because this is one I was really looking forward to because that story itself is fascinating.
It is. How much time do they spend in space?
Not a lot.
No. Okay.
Most of it,
a space movie.
And, you know, then and on top of everything else, they throw in these extraneous characters. Ellen Burstyn, who's a legend. You know, she goes all the way back. She was the mom in The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. She was in The Last Picture Show. She plays the obligatory grandma, the Texas grandma, who, you know, as soon as you introduce the character, she's got the oxygen tank, but she's still sneaking a cigarette. She's got the gun in her purse, and she gives a lot of down-spun home
right.
advice, you know. Where you're like, this
a little
is
cliche.
Not a lot cliche.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing.
Aww.
Lucy in the Sky
Portman.
Lands with a thud. That's why I told you guys I call it Sad Astra, because it's sort of like the, you know, the Brad Pitt movie, which we liked.
Yeah,
which is about, you know, an astronaut on a different kind of quest. And if you guys remember Notting Hill, one of the
yes.
great romantic comedies,
yes.
right?
Of course.
So Notting Hill, if you go back and look at
Hugh
it, it's always playing in a heavy rotation. It's the
mm-hmm.
Shawshank Redemption of romantic comedies. It's always playing somewhere.
Yes.
Notting Hill and Love Actually, right? Both done by Richard Curtis. But if you remember, in the movie Notting Hill, Julia Roberts was playing a movie star named Anna Scott.
Uh-huh.
And she was in London promoting her film called Helix. And you might remember in that movie, the movie within a movie, she plays an astronaut.
Yes.
And she's got the bad red wig. And you see a couple of quick clips from the actual movie, the Anna Scott movie, and it looks like the worst movie ever.
Right.
This is that movie. This is the whole version.
They made it.
Lucy in the Sky is that movie.
Oh, aren't they making that into like a limited series now?
What? Helix, the Anna Scott Notting Hill movie?
No, Notting Hill. I think Notting Hill is getting Netflix.
I believe so, but I think it's just going to be, you know, I don't think it's picking up the characters. I think it's a retelling of the story. But I'm not positive
about
that.
But it's different, but it's a lot of, because that movie's 20 years old now, right?
It is exactly 20 years old. So 1999, believe it or not.
They've updated it, and they've got people who, you know, might be more diverse in the cast than you had in Notting Hill. The whitest film ever made.
Well, Richard, Hugh Grant as William Thacker, you know, Hugh Grant's the whitest actor ever. You know, he's pale.
I mean, everybody's like translucent.
He's translucent. Yeah,
so
exactly.
White is translucent. Yeah.
Hello.
So it is. So I think they're doing like a sort of a, you know, modern London version of it. You know, where everybody, you know, you've got a Pakistani character and you've got an African character and you've got.
Yeah, why not?
You know, they've just decided to do that. So every time it's on, I
stop and watch
it.
Right. And you go back and you see all these little like Notting Hill. Her boyfriend, her you know, rude, cheating American boyfriend who's only in one scene is Alec Baldwin in Notting Hill, who shows up unexpectedly.
That.
And he's great in like 3 minutes. He assumes that Hugh Grant's character is a waiter, you know. He gives him like a bucket. Honey, what are you getting? And then he says, don't order too much. I don't want to be known as the guy that's dating the fat American actress. You're like, you're the worst.
Wait a second. But don't you think, every time I see that, don't you think that really is Alec Baldwin?
Yes!
That's where he's playing himself.
He might not have known there were any cameras. He just was told to show up in a hotel room with Julia Roberts in 1999. Yes, well, you know. And poor Hugh Grant, the whole movie. Is it all right if I just say no? Yeah. And then she leaves. Oh, I may have bungled that. Buggers. And he has to chase her. I love that.
That is a fantastic movie.
I'm glad we're talking more about Notting Hill than Lucy in the Sky. We should.
It is so funny because you are right about that. That the movie in the movie
Helix,
she goes by on the buses. There's posters of her on the buses, and it basically they put her in Jennifer Garner's wig from Alias.
It's also from
that era.
And Natalie Portman has almost the same hairstyle in this movie. But yeah, the movie she's making, I'm like, well, she wasn't going to keep making $15 million a movie if this is where her career is going.
Right.
She'd be getting a job in the travel bookshop that Hugh Grant was operating.
She did eventually. I think that's how that movie ends.
Yeah, that's a spoiler alert.
Yeah. All right. thank you.
Don't see Lucy in this guy.
All right. Hold on. Let's check out what's going on in the newsroom. Let's check in with Kim Gordon.
Roe, new information being released about Bernie Sanders' health. We'll tell you what his doctors had to say coming up.
Roe Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN Chicago.
We were just talking to Richard Roper about Lucy in the Sky and the female astronaut movie you don't want to see, highly reviewed, but NASA's just announced that the first all-female spacewalk could happen this month. Remember, they had announced back in March that they were going to do it, and then they realized they didn't have the necessary gear for that many women at one time.
They needed another uniform, another whole space.
So now they've got some more female space uniform, you know, all the gear that would fit a woman of some smaller
all the things
size.
They do right at NASA, they couldn't figure that out.
I know.
I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, think about the math and the technology and the preparation, the logistics of getting those humans in space and having them live.
That's what they do.
And they go, oh, you know what? We forgot it. Who forgot the uniform?
They said, okay, you try on this one, and you try on this one, and oh my gosh, those are way too big.
And you can't just give the woman, like, well, little guy's version, right? Because there's different types of things that would have to be involved, I don't think, right?
Yeah, they didn't have the medium-sized suits. They didn't have enough of those, so I don't know if they're male and female, but they didn't have enough back in March, after they had already announced that they were going to do an all-female spacewalk. Now they're back ready to go. End of October. October 21st, in fact, so not all that far away. For that.
All right. And Bernie has just gotten out of the hospital.
But it's been announced that Bernie did have a heart attack. He did suffer from a heart attack when he was... Remember when he was in Las Vegas at that hospital speaking and all of a sudden, very unlike him, asked for a chair, said this has been a very long day, and his staffers immediately knew something was wrong, goes to the hospital. Turns out he had those two stents placed in his blocked artery. Well, now they've learned that it actually was a heart attack, which sort of changes a little bit of things for the recovery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I would say that there's got to be a moment here where, even though Bernie had a $25 million quarter, did you see that?
More That's than anyone else.
Right, on the Democratic side.
Biden's at 15. And remember, he's always very good with getting more donations. His average donation was the lowest again at $18.
18 cents per donation?
Exactly.
That is incredible.
Pretty close. Isn't it?
He
still
gets that much money.
Pulling in.
Doesn't he immediately give it back, though? Isn't that the idea? Like, everyone gets a dollar back?
You got to... If he decides to fold the campaign here, which I suppose could happen, then he would have to... He could spend it on another campaign. Mm. He just can't keep it.
Okay.
So he could... Or he could return it in some ways. That's very complicated.
Oh, that would be so complicated. But he could give it to another candidate,
yes.
Right? So he could say, Elizabeth Warren, whoever, this is for you.
Great if he gave it to like one of somebody that's polling like just barely at 0.9%.
Marianne Williamson, I would like to say that I have always had a bit of a crush on you from afar. I do like your idea of visiting the planet Zorgon and being the president there if it does not work out here for you. So here's $25 million.
That would be a big haul for her. She raised $3 million in the third quarter.
Yeah. So, now, you know, Cory Booker is the guy who's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Cory Booker is a senator.
He's
on television all the time.
He's got the sleeves rolled up. He's looking
great.
Yeah,
he looks like he's ready to go.
A lot of great things. He's like, what? Anybody?
But you know what? He's got, not that I'm accusing him of this, but he's got the steroid eyes, right? He's got that look, like the eyes are wide open. Yeah. And he's always like really very intense about everything. You're like, okay, you know what? Is there any way to... And stop breaking into Spanish halfway through a sentence.
There feels... With him, I think it does feel like a lot of it is rehearsed and calculated. Like
yes.
The breaking into Spanish.
Yep.
I think he's a good guy. I think he's got some good things to say. But there's an authenticity that's lacking there.
Yes, I think that's exactly...
Yeah, that's a good call. A good way to say it, I think. But he's only barely ahead of Marianne Williamson in the fundraising right now.
Who's authentically crazy, but embraces it.
People connect with the authentic crazy.
Yeah, exactly. She's got that portion.
I would like to say
that vote.
That of all of the Democrats in the field, I think Marianne Williamson's the only one who's got a shot against Trump.
Where even he would go like,
I don't know what to do with that.
I got nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got Pocahontas here. I got this. I got that. I could, there's a little soft racism over there. But this, I don't know what to do. Because she's like another, like, she's a daytime television star. Right? Or whatever the hell she is or was or, All right. Well, we wish everybody the best. I think this, I wouldn't be surprised if by Sunday Bernie folds up the tent.
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. Might be the best.
Well, they got the big thing next week, right? Isn't it? They're in Ohio.
The Democratic debate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the, what's in, the next Democratic debate is also this month. So
right. They're at Otterbein.
The Octagon. Mm-hmm. This one, right? Yeah, right. It's really stepping up now.
Marianne Williamson's going to levitate at this one just to show us that she can.
I bet you don't believe I could float across this room right now. She'd still only get like 7% if she could do that, but it would still be good.
She would. She'd probably surge in the polls.
I think it's next week. I think it's coming up.
Yeah, we've got October 15th at the Otterbein University in Westerville, Ohio.
You'll know it's a week away because you start seeing the countdown clock on the cable news channels as if it's like the first one.
6 days, 11 hours.
And you're like, why are you showing me that?
43 minutes?
I know.
I wouldn't do that to my own wedding. You have the clock up the whole time.
And like Christmas, maybe. Like if you're an 8-year-old for Christmas morning, you might want to see that clock. That's the last time I wanted to see something like that. Because as you're counting down to it, you're counting down to something you're not going to watch anyway.
Exactly.
Although you might watch it to see if Bernie makes it through it. That's the only thing. And God bless him. You know, he's been around a long time.
He has.
He's
been fighting the good fight.
He's got to. I think this is
even
it.
Even last time out, wasn't his wife kind of thinking this is not the smartest and greatest thing from personal reasons and worried about him?
I like when they didn't want to put out. You know, they're also the people that didn't want to put their taxes out. Right?
Well,
they didn't want to put the tax out because they were going to find out that Bernie... Well, then what you should do... I am a millionaire. That is correct. But you should write a best-selling book like I did. Cooking with Bernie.
What's this $800 expenditure for the BP tattoo you had put on your right buttock?
Very weird.
Yeah, that seems like a conflict of interest.
Oh, man. Anyway. All right. Well, okay. There you go. I think what we just did is we just blew Kim Gordon's top story there, but we're going to let her handle it anyway. Kim Gordon's got the news, brought to you by victoryautorecords.com. And then music, live music from Carla and Phil. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVontis. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Kim. Appreciate it. All right, it is a Friday tradition. The Carnarvon Wagon has rolled. decided not to think about anything particularly serious from this point forward. And we like to bring the live music in.
Yes.
We like to bring in Chicago area bands, or some bands are coming through the Chicago area of a national or international nature, and they come into Studio G, as we call it, this beautiful sound stage that we have built here at WGN Radio. And you can watch this as well on the WGNradio.com. That's a great place to go see what the bands are looking like.
Sure.
Or, and it's also a good opportunity to test your smart speaker out, because these things sound amazing.
Don't they?
On the smart speaker. So just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn, or any of the ways that you can find WGN Radio using your smart speaker. They will do it. And we got Carla and Phil. Turns out here that Carla and Phil, I was naming all the different bands that they are in earlier.
Because it's just Carla and Phil.
My prep sheet for this had named every band that you were ever in. I thought your years with the Rolling Stones, both of you, were particularly great. So congratulations on that. It's Carla Campin and Phil Dellen. And you guys are, you're cousins by marriage, is that right?
Yes. So we're family. I sing and play guitar, and Phil's a drummer here, so it's a great family setup.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. So who married into the family first? Like, how did this go when you figured out the musical talents were everywhere?
I married into the family first. I married her cousin, Jill. So, hi, Jill. I love you.
Oh, sweet.
Jill, he's really where he says he is. That's the important thing. It's good to know. All right. And you guys are now, when you guys are together, Carla and Phil, you're doing nightclubs and bars and restaurants throughout the Chicago area, and you're doing covers primarily, right?
Yes. We mostly do covers try to spice things up, try to find different kinds of things that we can tweak and change and make our own. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, very interesting.
Do you have a favorite venue, favorite place to perform?
Well, we usually are at our family bar, O'Neill's Tavern in Lombard.
Oh,
yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, she pronounced it. You must be from Lombard, right? Because only the people in Lombard pronounce it Lombard.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's Lombard.
Lombard.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then, that's in the family too?
No, that's where we like to hang out.
Oh,
like,
all right.
We're there all the time.
Got it. Okay. Just trying to figure out.
A lot of family connections.
Another cousin owns the bar. I don't know. It's a big family.
Very big family.
Big family. And then you're going to be there on November 14th, but that's a ways away. But Brower House in Lombard on October 10th. So that's coming up right around the corner.
Exactly. We actually, while we're here, before we get started, we wanted to say some thank yous. Thank you for having us. We are super excited to be here today on WGN and the Rocon and Ann show. And thanks to Ashley and Brian and Dan helping us out with the sound and everything.
Oh, that's fun. They're getting paid for it. All right. Now, here's
we're happy you're here.
Here's the thing. You can also see Carla and the Fat Cats, wherever you're playing. And Phil's band is Phil Atrium.
It's actually just Atrium. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, great.
So many bands.
All the people you just thanked are getting fired. So that's going to work out great.
No, don't do that.
That's great. No, that's fine. All right. So what do you want to play for us first?
We're going to play a cover of Pumped Up Kicks.
So Foster the People, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I got that right. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Carla and Phil.
He's got a roll of cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a cowboy kid, bound a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet, hidden with a box of fun things I don't even know of. But he's coming for you, he's coming for you, all the other kids with the pumped up kicks. You better run, I'll find my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks. You better run, faster than my belief. Faster than my belief. Thank you. fries. Dinner's in the kitchen and it's packed in ice. I've waited for a long time. The slide of my hand is now a quick pull trigger reason with the cigarette. I see your hair's on fire, must have lost your wits, yeah. Oh, the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, I'll run my gun. Oh, the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, I'll run my gun. I said, oh, the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, I'll run my gun. Oh, the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, faster than my bullet. Faster than my
Carl and Phil, they're Lombard's very own. Can I say that?
Oh.
You guys from Lombard?
Yeah, right around Lombard area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old Lombard
Wheaton,
area.
Roselle, Lombard, all of it.
Both of you? Or are you one who married into the Lombard side of the family?
His wife, my cousin Jill, grew up in Lombard, and I grew up in Villa Park, and when I came back, stateside, I was looking for, some place, and Susie with 1126 Entertainment really helped us out getting started with, open mics and, just meeting different people, and Phil being part of our family, I was like, oh, it's great having another musician here. I don't feel alone.
How about that? That is sweet.
It's very nice, yeah, because it's not an easy life.
No.
At all, especially when you're, were you working overseas, or were you...
Yeah, I was teaching English over in Korea for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. And it came back and was just like, you know what? I need to get back invested in music. Yeah.
Very well done. Yeah. Very well done. All right. One more from them coming your way. Also, we'll check in, find out what's coming up on an Extension 720 on the other side. But first, let's check in with David Jennings. What's happening in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
Rope. FAA is going to find out if the seats on passenger planes are too small. We'll tell you why.
There you go. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Live Music Friday. Carla and Phil are here. Very excited to have them coming up. Mark Harmon is going to join us, talk about what's coming up on his version of Extension 720.
Nice. Okay.
And I'm going to quiz him. I'm finally going to win somebody over to my argument that the Bears made a mistake by going to London
flying
too late.
When they did, and it might have been too late. They looked great today at practice. If you see any of the videos the Bears released or anything that anybody shot, they looked really good.
And Carm is exactly the guy to do that with, because he's got a negative attitude, so I like him very much for that. I think I'm going to bring him over to my side. All right, Carla and Phil, you can see them at the Brower House in Lombard next week on October 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. They are amazing. They do a lot of covers, but then you can also see them independently in their own bands. But we don't have time for that right now because they're just sitting here right now. So young folk, right? That's what you want to do for us?
Yes, yep. Definitely.
Take it away, Carla and Phil.
Susie Jessen from 1126. This one's for you.
Thank you.
someone like me. I did before and had my share. It didn't lead nowhere. I would go along with someone like you. It doesn't matter what you did, who you were hanging with. We could stick around and see this night through. And we don't care about the young folks talking about the young style. We don't care about the old folks talking about the old style too.
Carla and Phil, Live Music Friday on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanche. Again, kids, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody at WGN.
You guys have been incredibly kind. Thank you.
Brower House and Lombard, October 10th. That's next week, but that's next Thursday, right? Did I have that right?
Yeah, we got some shows coming up. Phil and I will also be doing one October 25th at O'Neill's. And we got some for Atrium November 16th at the Brower House.
That's October 21 20th. And over.
Uh-oh. It's because they're swearing. Yeah.
Watch
it.
Out.
Okay, I get it. I understand what goes on there.
Yeah.
All right, kids. Thanks so much for being here. We'll check in with Carmen, who is in for Extension 720 tonight. And I'm going to try to win him over to my position that the Bears have traveled too late. But first, news is next with David Jennings in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. But right now, Mark Carmen steps up. He's going to be in for Extension 720 and Justin Kaufman tonight. And there is breaking sporting news, is there not?
Yeah, there's a little stuff coming out in the Cubs' managerial search. Apparently, they're going to interview Joe Girardi next week, which I think, considering what they want, seems like a no-brainer to me. You want a taskmaster. You want somebody to come in there and not be impressed by winning a World Series in 2016. Somebody with a little Cub history, too. I think Girardi's, he's got, in my mind, he's got to be the favorite. And he wants it. He's been pretty clear about that. So we'll see.
I'm surprised that we've gone through all this machination with Grandpa Rossi and all the rest of that, right? Because it doesn't make any sense. That Girardi was the guy they were thinking about the whole time. And the Cubs fans were, too.
Well, and they love David Ross. They appreciate David Ross. I think huge reason why the Cubs haven't gotten to where they got in 2016 is, like, leadership like they had from Ross in that clubhouse. John Lackey, dudes that you didn't want to mess with. But can that guy step in there and manage this crew as his best friend John Lester on the mound? I love David Ross, but I don't, and I think he'll be a great manager somewhere, but I don't think he's the right fit for the Cubs right now.
New York Post has an article right now. Would Joe Girardi be the perfect fit to increase the Mets' credibility? It's obvious he's being courted by a number of teams, right?
Right. Well, I mean,
he announced he wanted back in now.
Yeah, he's. I'm interested in any managerial job, and that's interesting for the Mets, right? He was a Yankee. We're going to bring him over here. He won World Series there. Why not do it over here?
He's got the house there, but he has. has such a Chicago history too.
Northwestern Wildcats. He said, go Cats, right?
He's wanted this job for decades, really. And I mean, why not?
Do you want to really go to the Mets? If you've been at the Yankees, you really want to go to the Mets?
Right. I mean,
come on. It's a different deal.
Come on. Come on. Come on home. We'll see what happens.
City Field is great.
It's certainly big news,
though. That's what Wrigley Field is.
I'm going to miss Joe Maddon, though, for just want to name that. I like watched 5 Joe Maddon videos today and by myself.
Crying?
With the lights off. But
is it dusty here? Oh, God.
Joe, we're going to miss you.
Oh, God. Hey, all right. I want to ask you very quickly. Yeah. We have a minute left here. I want to know. I need you, because you're the exact kind of guy that's going to go along with me on this. Okay. I think the Bears made a terrible mistake by not going to London 2 days ago.
Ooh.
So they would have extra time to get ready for the time difference. The way that the... Because essentially, the Raiders have been there for a week.
It's interesting that you bring that up. Chase Daniel, I was out at practice, I guess, Wednesday, and he was talking about, I've gone over there for the whole week, and I've gone over there when we're going, and I like when we're going. So he's like, the first practice the next day is incredibly tough, but then the next day you feel fine, which he's saying that on Saturday they're going to feel fine. But I don't see any harm. Why wouldn't you want to get over there early?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Just in case there's a little jet lag that needs to be kind of shaken off or something?
Right. Get acclimated, live the dream, practice. Experience the city. You're going. They can certainly afford to take the whole team over there. Can't be a money issue, right? Let's go to London. Let's have a week. Why not?
They got an all first class plane.
I know.
They got the Virgin Air 787-9, which is the entire thing is set up in a first class configuration.
Yeah. They looked comfortable on the plane.
I mean, if Lapka can be in Prague and wherever else for how long, why can't the Bears spend a week?
I know.
There's really not a lot of explanation for what happened with Lapka. I have no idea how to. Everybody's like, why did you send her early? We had nothing to do with it.
I know, they're all like asking, why did she get that assignment? She chose to go there.